PFW in progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself. The answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry, it's the pleats.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress, a very special post-draft edition of PFW in progress. Paul's here. Eric's here. I know Andy's somewhere. I don't know where he's.
Doctor.
Andy's coming.
He's coming.
Yeah,
he'll
be here.
He'll be here. Okay, so
Mr. Draft wouldn't miss a draft show.
No, Mr. Draft and his guy, Rashard Mendenhall.
Is an idiot.
Making some waves today. He is, as Andy said, ridiculous.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that. And obviously, we got to talk about this draft. We've had some time
So just to recap, Freddie.
Yeah.
We can take that idiot, but we can't take Dez Bryant because he looked bad at. He gave a mad, dirty look at Eric and Andy at the combine.
Mendenhall is ridiculous.
He didn't comport himself.
He did not. Not at all.
So we've had a few days to sit back and digest everything that happened on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And We'll see what everyone thinks, including us and you, at webradio@patriots.com. You can email us or call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398.
And, Fred, if you want a precursor to what people are going to say, judging by the SPFWs, which I had to do this week,
right?
People are not happy with this draft.
They're not happy, and I guess I'll start it off.
Okay.
I completely understand the bewilderment about not addressing the pass rush. It has to be the single most biggest need that the Patriots have.
Has been, too, for
this,
a while.
This inability to get to the quarterback, especially on key downs in key situations. There's no denying the facts, which, in the stats about, the dreadful third down defense that the Patriots had. There's no denying that. And it's hard to deny the fact that one of the reasons was because they couldn't get at the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
So I'm with everybody there. I'm with that. Having said that, okay, I think you can still say all those.
Here we go.
I think you can still say all those things.
Yeah.
And look at the way the Patriots drafted and also conclude that they agree with that too. I think the way that they drafted doesn't mean that they don't recognize that and that they're denying it and that they don't think it's a problem. you know.
I think I agree with you. I'm not sure exactly I understand what you're saying, but is your point being just because they didn't address that need doesn't mean they don't think it's a need?
Right.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So when are they going to address it?
Well, I think that, you know, they'll look at the situation as it comes around in free agency, and if they can, they will. I think that, you know, look, I said it when it happened. In this league, covering helps your defense just as much as a pass rush. We looked at that Jets game. They didn't have a great pass rush last year, but they had a defense that was one of the best in the league because they could just shut people down. And I think that could help too.
But what's wrong with trying to address it now and later?
There's nothing wrong with it.
So why didn't they?
But I think, well, that's the question that, you know, is on everybody's mind. Why didn't they? Why didn't they go after Kerrigan and trade up a little bit for Quinn? Why didn't they go after Justin Houston a little later second round?
I can understand Eric and the emailer's point of view, because I, too, felt like there were some opportunities. Now, I think what Bill is telling you, you know, everybody wants to read into what Bill says, and I'm not sure that that's really something that anybody can do with any level of certainty.
No.
You know, because he doesn't explain the picks, and nor should he. He doesn't, you know, he's doing what he thinks, quote unquote, is in the best interest.
No, but
so he can get away with that. But I think it's pretty obvious that he felt Nate Solder, the second best tackle, was a better alternative than Brooks Reed, you know, the eighth best edge rusher or whatever you want to get to. You know, for those guys. And I think that is a logical way of looking. I don't have a problem with that. Now, where I differed, and I think Eric differs, is when you get down to the second round, at the top of that second round, he kind of surprised us all by keeping the pick for starters and then taking a cornerback, when I do think that you could make an argument that a Justin Houston or a Brooks Reed. Now, Justin Houston clearly dropped with the drug thing.
Right.
He went from the top of the second round to the top of the third round with the drug thing. I think there was value there. I think Daquan Bowers would have been value there.
And I think,
you know, a guy who, I don't care. This is where it's okay to me in the second round to take a guy who's a one-trick pony. Akeem Ayers, if you liked him. Now, none of us really liked him. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying, these are the guys that could rush the passer and really didn't do a whole lot else.
Right.
Brooks Reed, Justin Houston, Jabal Sheard, Akeem Ayers. There were four or five guys that kind of fit that profile. Throw them out there on third down, just tell them to put their head down to go after the passer. And I think that would have been better than picking a third cornerback.
And if you were drafting on just need, you'd be right. That's what they probably would have done.
No, I'm talking value.
Well,
I'm not. I don't want you to reach. 17 would have been a reach for Brooks Reed. 33 wasn't. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, again, well, not again, but we talked about this over the weekend. You kind of have to trust your scouts and your rating. And if Razai Dowling was rated so much higher on your board than Brooks Reed or Justin Houston, you got to have to trust that. And I know need comes into it. Yes, cornerback was not as big a need as a pass rusher. You have to trust your scouts. Otherwise,
But you're making this an argument as to whether or not they should have not trusted their evaluations. I'm questioning their evaluations.
Yeah.
I'm not questioning their motives for it.
Okay.
If they indeed had a wide gap between a cornerback who, if everything goes well, is your third cornerback, and a pass rusher, if everything goes well, is a situational pass rusher, to me, the need should have far outweighed the difference between those two players.
What if they didn't think Brooks Reed could be that situation?
I would question that evaluation. What I'm saying. I don't think Brooks Reed is a great player. I didn't think he was a first-round pick. There were some mock drafts that had him in the first. But I think when you get from 30, you know, 33, if you wanted to move down a little bit there.
I think they did try it, but no one was willing to do it with him, right?
Where?
To move. They were
He said on Thursday night that he fielded many calls for 33.
Right. Yeah. And I guess nobody was offering what would make them do it.
Fred, I have a hard time believing that, to your point about the scouts, trusting the scouts, I have a hard time believing that the scouts felt that the best they could do at outside linebacker was a sixth-round no-name guy from a small program. I have a hard time believing that.
But that's not what they're saying. That's not what they say.
It's when if, they
if
were
the
draft, on the
if the purpose was just to get an outside backer, I'm sure they would have drafted a guy higher than Markell.
I'm not, because they had a chance. They could have traded up a couple of spots and gotten a Robert Quinn.
But by doing what they did, isn't
and you're telling me Robert Quinn isn't as good?
No, I think you're making a mistake.
Right.
They're not telling you that Markell Carter is a better player than Brooks Reed. They're not telling you that. They're telling you Rasai Dowling was more better.
Right.
To excuse the poor English, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Dowling was greater in value than Reed at that spot for them to take an outside linebacker. But they don't want to take the outside linebacker just to take an outside linebacker. When they got down a little bit further, they said, okay, here's a guy that we think the value and the need match up. I think the value and the need matched up perfectly with the first pick with Nate Solder.
And obviously,
Nate Solder to me was a perfect need pick.
Yeah.
Because it was a good player who fulfilled a giant need.
And I think they ended round three with the perfect value pick in Mallett. You know, I think that was a value pick. You know, I think that
it was most definitely a value pick.
I think that
whether it was a perfect one, we'll find out.
You know, they'll never say this, but to me, what they're saying in the top of the third round, that picking Brooks Reed there would have been a reach, but Dowling was right in the sweet spot. Was not a reach. Was right in the sweet spot.
I'm at a loss to explain why they couldn't have been more aggressive with their most important need in a year when that need was the deepest position in the draft and when they had more than enough ammunition to get one of the top four players in that position. I'm at a loss to explain why they didn't do it.
Well, we all are. And I think that, you know, the only way we would know is if we sat down and they were honest about their evaluation,
which is never going to happen.
See, this is my point is this. Like, I don't question the presence of their evaluations. I don't think they go willy-nilly all over the board and just get crazy on draft weekend and say, yeah, I know I had this guy, you know, my ninth best guy, but I like him. I like the hyphen in his name. Razai. Like that.
Right.
I don't think I think they had him evaluated at the top of the second round. But that, to me, is not a reason to make the pick. Or not a reason to excuse the pick. Not to make the pick. Excuse the pick. It's like we justify it. Okay. They didn't like they didn't like Clay Matthews. You know, if they had the draft to do it all over again, their evaluations told them he was a third-round pick. That's what Andy and I said, using Andy and I's evaluations. We didn't really like him. We thought he was a special teamer. We were wrong. I mean, it's clear that he's a much, much better player than Andy or I thought at the time. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's okay to admit that your evaluation was wrong.
The Patriots
shared
our
views. You can't admit that the day after you evaluate.
No,
wait a little while.
No, I don't care but my point is, when we evaluate this draft, we just take that's the way they had the evaluation. I mean, we just look at it and say, hey,
no,
they got all the guys they wanted.
No, but
hey,
you can disagree with
them.
That's fine.
Can you imagine someone gave them an A-plus for that draft?
I know.
Clifton Brown gave them an A-plus.
I think what we're trying to do is figure out why they did what they did. We can disagree with it all we want. Even when we figure it out.
I don't need to figure out why any team picks who they pick, because I know they did it because they thought it was the best interest of their team. They evaluated the talent, and I don't think that Bill Belichick would ever pick a guy that he didn't think could play.
Right. Right.
So I don't have to wonder why they picked
him. I
don't have to wonder that they thought Rasai Dowling was better than Brooks Reed. I know they did. They picked him.
And the way I opened it up was, I think by, you know, in doing that, I think they're not necessarily disagreeing with all of us who say pass rush is a huge hole in this defense. I don't think that they're saying
that. That's where I'm lockstep with you. They're not making any grandiose statements.
Right.
Unnamed statements. There's no hidden meaning.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem to be any urgency to address the situation. Because they didn't do it last year. They didn't do it the year before.
Yeah. But I think that sometimes that urgency could lead to mistakes. If you just because we know it's a big need, we have to do X. I think that can lead to bad decisions.
It can. I just don't want it. Also, I don't want that to lead. I don't want mistakes to lead to gun shyness about pulling the trigger
That's
in the future.
Good point.
Well, yeah, and we talked about it too. You know, maybe the Patriots need to get a little bit more flexible in their evaluation
well,
of
that was the
what a pass rusher can be.
That was
in their
the disappointing
system.
Part to me, because there were guys yeah. that fit their mold this year
yeah.
and I still didn't like
them. I mean, I was hoping for Quinn, but, you know, really 1A would have been Kerrigan because of his makeup, because of his motor, because of his leadership. And I would love to
or
see
Alden
a guy.
Smith, any
you know,
of those guys,
to
they
me,
all fit the mold.
To me, Kerrigan was Teddy Bruschi. Just a little, you know, a little bit different type of athlete, but the same type of internal workings. And that works on this team, you know?
I would have been happy with, even if they went second round with one of the backup, I would have been happy yeah. with any of those players in the first two rounds.
Even if
they waited
gotten,
till the sixth round to get me somebody?
Even if they could have gotten
that's
one.
That's unacceptable.
Well, they didn't get you anybody. They didn't get you anybody.
Even if they could have gotten somebody at 56, one of yeah. the secondary, tertiary, you know, edge rushers. I think it would have been a better, you know, better use of the pick. Now, the other thing that I here's where I'm kind of trying to convince myself is how I felt about McCourty last year. I just kept saying, I think it was a pretty good player. I kept saying at this time last year, I
yeah.
think Devin McCourty's
yep.
a pretty good player.
We said that
from the get-go. I just don't see the cornerback as a need.
Right.
And boy, oh boy, were we wrong, because what a huge need cornerback
but,
turned out to be.
But not-
so I keep saying that to myself. This is exactly how I felt last year.
Right.
I think Rashai Dowling is a pretty good football player if he's healthy. Now,
right.
he dropped about 20 spots because of his health.
Right.
He didn't play last year. He's had some, you know, fairly significant. I mean, a broken ankle for a cornerback is a
yeah.
fairly significant injury. You know, hamstring problems more recently and whatnot. Ankle and knee problems.
Not to mention the recent.
For a cornerback, that's big.
The recent misfortune this team has had in taking second-round cornerbacks.
But sure. I just keep telling myself, this is exactly how I felt about McCourty, and look at how good that turned out. Now, am I expecting Dowling to be McCourty? That's not fair to Dowling. McCourty had that special of a rookie year that
right.
you shouldn't just expect that kind of rookie year to get recycled. But I felt very similar about McCourty last year as I'm feeling right now about Dowling, and hopefully I'm wrong again.
And the other thing I want to do in this show today is not just focus on what they didn't do, but focus on what they did do and what that means, because that's where you can make statements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you take two running backs back to back and an offensive lineman and another one later who should have been a second rounder except for the illness, that's saying something too. And I want to talk about that as well today.
Yeah.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at pages.com is the email address. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Derek from University of Arizona is on the line. Hey, Derek.
Kevin, are you paying attention?
Derek?
No.
No.
Nothing?
I hit the air button. Derek, you there? No.
No.
Okay. Well,
I think the one area, Fred.
I just realized you have control of something
yeah.
over there. I didn't realize that.
You touched on it briefly there. I think that the other area that is definitely up for debate is the back-to-back running backs.
Yep.
And it's not that they picked one or the other. It's that they picked both. I think they needed two running backs. I don't think they needed them both that early.
Mm.
One of them early, and then one of them. I think you could have gotten a guy similar to Ridley, if not Ridley himself, a couple of rounds later.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think there were some.
Yep.
The kid from Syracuse, DeLon Cotter. I think was a guy I think went in the, I want to say the fourth round to Indy. Physical, big physical back, kind of like Ridley.
Yep.
You know, maybe you thought Ridley was better. A lot of people thought Ridley was a third, fourth round pick.
Yeah.
So maybe he would have been there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the players. I love Vereen. I've been talking about Vereen
yeah.
for a while.
We all really liked him.
I love that pick. I love it. I love that.
And
pick.
Again, not to be a feature back. These are complementary players.
So that's what that's.
But they're younger than the complementary players that we've had.
And they're all complementary players. That's the way that Bill has certainly, we want to talk about unspoken word, but. Mm-hmm. Judged by the actions, his actions would tell you this is what he likes,
mm-hmm.
because it's been a while now since they've had one guy carry the whole load by himself,
and he only really did it for one full year.
Yeah,
because then the next year Lawrence Maroney came in and they kind of split carries for a while.
Yeah,
we're talking about
Corey
Dillon.
They had
now,
Antoine
right.
Smith and Corey Dillon,
right.
but as he has sort of developed the program here over the years, it's been more or less. Running back by committee, and I have no problem with that. I don't think I don't like putting all your eggs in a running back basket. Too many injuries at that spot. You know, look at what Curtis Martin's absences used to do in the 90s, Fred.
Yep.
When Curtis Martin was hurt, how much that impacted the offense, because he did so many things well.
Sure.
So I don't really. I mean, would I like to have a guy like Curtis Martin in his prime?
Of course,
absolutely.
Sure,
of course.
Adrian Peterson today, Chris Johnson, these guys—they're game breakers. Yeah, I'd love to have a guy like that.
But I'd also be sitting there crossing my fingers every week that they stay healthy.
Derek's on the line now. Hey, Derek.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, sure can.
Sorry to use the dumb cliche, but it seemed appropriate. Anyway, I was just wanting to say a few things kind of along what you guys have been talking about. I'm right with you guys. I originally was a little more upset about the draft than I am now. I was kind of more of a frustrating weekend more than an angry weekend. I think they got a lot of good players, and, you know, I was just a little frustrated, kind of like what Eric had said a few minutes ago about how, you know, they had opportunities to move up and, you know, they had the ammo to do it, and they just didn't pull the trigger. But, you know, especially for someone like Quinn, when you heard so many teams, you know, trading down, you know, where they ended up taking Solder, who I think is a good player. But,
yeah, we all do.
I definitely think it's frustrating for sure.
We all like the Solder pick. I think as the player.
Yeah, like I said, I thought it was the perfect combination of value and need,
Derek,
with an emphasis on need, to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. I think you need to fill. I think you need to fill holes
and,
with
and
your
the
early
amazing
picks with good football players.
The amazing part of his pick to me was Bill's proclamation that he's a left tackle. He's always been a left tackle. He's going to be a left tackle.
Yeah.
Whoa, where did that come from?
Start him there anyway.
Right.
Where did that come from?
Right.
Oh, that's what I said.
Right. Andy's here.
And we would be remiss.
Mr. Draft is here.
If we continue to talk about anything draft related without Mr. Draft. So
any opening statements? Because we've already had ours.
Eric went on a semi-rant, which was nice.
In regards to no pass rusher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And Fred said it was the greatest draft ever. And
no.
Where did Paul weigh in?
No.
Pretty
no.
heavily. Ho!
It's amazing how we work.
Not even 30 seconds.
11 seconds. New world record.
Well, I'll stick with what I said. I did a few radio hits after the draft, and I think it's going to be a draft where if everything hits, they took some chances, and you're going to hear that they got a first-round value and a cornerback in the second round, although barely. A quarterback who's the most talented in the draft, had first-round value if he didn't have character concerns. A guard who was an early second-round value who's a starter if he didn't have cancer concerns. I think you're going to talk about all the reasons why they got first- or second-round type talent later in the draft. I think that's... Now, if they all go bad and
right.
the guy with cancer is sick for a couple of years, and if Mallett, you know, gets arrested for alcohol abuse or... You know, Dowling can't play. Now you
right.
go, you took too many chances. You had every guy you took had a red flag. Now, Solder, I removed from that group. I think Solder was a first-round pick. He's a potential franchise left tackle. They needed a tackle. The only argument for me there is the one I said over the weekend. Say he hits and he's a Pro Bowl left tackle. All right, we're back where we started. We had a Pro Bowl left tackle last year. You didn't get any better there.
Well,
you filled a need.
You filled a need for the future too.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But you're looking
but
at
2011.
Right.
It's
11,
hard
like
to make
to
it. It's hard to make.
Don't.
You know, ever since I did that, and you guys made fun of me, you guys constantly.
No,
do
no,
it.
No,
like,
no, 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 cool no, 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 no. You guys. No,
okay.
You guys.
Okay, Mr. Draft constantly.
Right.
Did.
Mr. Draft and the lady in the room. Who's adjusting his pants like Fred?
But yes, it's
all right.
My bottom line evaluation. The bottom line evaluation is you wonder how much better is the 2011 Patriots team.
Right.
Based on these guys that they added.
Now Markell Carter.
Maybe you're better based on natural progression of some of the guys that played last year, particularly on defense. A lot of young guys got a lot of playing time
right.
last year.
That's why it's never safe to say, well, the team did X in the year before. That means they'll do X plus Y the next year. You don't know.
It
could
funny.
Be
these
worse.
Rookies could have slumps. You
as
never
Andy,
know.
As Andy yeah. ran down that
what
whole
I had
list.
To tell Teddy Bruschi at the draft party when he has them in the postseason. The only question is how well they do in the postseason. Yeah. The regular season's irrelevant.
It's striking.
Hey,
it's striking how many guys
pull back the reins, Homer.
That won't figure to play it. I mean, play much of a role, if any. You know, certainly with Marcus Cannon, I would be. You know, he's not
right.
going to play any.
Right.
Well, Ryan Mallett's not going to play any
in late season. I think that would be a best case scenario.
Yeah.
I would say probably IR is more likely.
I would too, but well, they'll probably start on PUP and just in case,
and,
you know,
probably,
Teddy
yeah,
Bruschi
yeah.
style,
right?
Just in case there's a
yeah,
chance.
Yeah, he'll start on
the
NFI.
Because he
right?
said he's had nothing so far. No, none of the side effects, the bad, anything.
But he
from,
only had
but
one
had,
first round.
But
no, it's one of three, so he's a third of the way
but
there.
But didn't he have
no
it Thursday?
That was
yeah,
it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't think he would. You know,
I'm, oh, I'm just saying. You're very negative. I'm just saying there's
I'm
a
not,
hype.
I'm not negative. I'm saying that when you go down that whole list of players there, I think you can realistically expect Solder to play, Vereen to play.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't use the can word for Solder. I think has to play.
No, I'm
like,
saying
realistically, Matt Light's gone,
yeah,
and I think
realistically,
Nate
the guys
Solder,
that you
better
expect,
or worse, is your right. starting left tackle. Right.
The guys that you would expect to play to me yep. would be Solder yep. and Vereen. Now Ridley might,
right.
you know, factor in.
But even
Dowling
Vereen
might figure
and Dowling, in. And Dowling might yeah. factor in.
Nate
but
Solder needs to be
it's hard
Tom Brady's blindside protection.
It's hard to imagine.
You should move in with him right now.
It's hard to imagine
I'm
that
sure
draft
G
class
would be okay.
Get to know each other.
I'm not sure G would be okay with that. Plus, he's a hunter from Colorado. Brady's a metrosexual from California. I mean, I don't think they have a lot in common.
Fred in Halifax has a good email. He says, I tuned in live on Thursday and then listened to the next
What's
two after I downloaded them. It was
when
good to see some actual football brings back the good old negative Andy and Eric. I thought that Saturday's episode of PFW with Chicken Little and Friends was particularly funny. I find it hard to believe that anyone who calls in or sends an email actually thinks they know more about what the Patriots should do than Coach Bill. I think people just want their ideas for the team validated by Bill. I think you guys are the same way. You want certain players and are disappointed when Bill does not validate your opinion.
And when he takes them, they're the best tight end in the rookie history of football.
We want certain positions. Right?
I mean, let Andy and Eric say something here.
Right.
I wanted Gronkowski. He took him. He was the best rookie tight end ever.
But if they had taken another tight end, like if they had taken Gresham or somebody, they needed a tight end. They took a tight end.
Right.
They needed a pass rusher this year. All due respect to Markell Carter, they didn't take a pass rusher. If he turns out to be the Tom Brady of six-round pick pass rushers, then great.
Well,
but that's
be
a lot to
greater
ask.
Story since at least Brady was, you know, at the University of Michigan. This guy was
yeah.
in Division II
winning Orange
Central
Bowls.
Arkansas.
I think Bill and Nick's philosophy is that I will not take the fifth best defensive line or linebacker when I can have my highest rated tackle. Same for the 33rd pick. They obviously thought that Dowling was a better corner than the other players were at their positions. I want my team picking the best players for this team and not build a fantasy football team.
Can we stop right there for 1 second?
Sure.
Because I want to jump in. This
okay.
is what we were talking about at the beginning of the show before Andy got here. Nobody questions whether or not that they picked the cornerback that they had highest rated on their board at that spot. The question is not of their motive. The question is their evaluation skill. Is, in fact, Dowling a better football player than the best available outside pass rusher at that spot? Time will tell. We know from the recent past they've been wrong. But no one is willing to acknowledge that for some reason. Clay Matthews was a better football player than the guys they took that were, quote-unquote, higher on their board because they got all the guys that they wanted on their board, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Clay Matthews was a better football player than those guys. They
right.
were wrong.
Right.
It's time for someone to acknowledge that sometimes they make mistakes.
Bill has built up more than a few benefits of the doubts over the last 10 years, and I think people should calm down. P.S., after listening to Saturday's show, could you post the audio of Bill's next press conference when Andy gets to ask him about the embarrassing the franchise with the trade with the Eagles?
I asked
that's
him.
If he has
he
the onions
him.
To do it. I won't wait for
already
it.
Asked, wait,
already, asked.
Done
that.
Already asked already asked and answered, and he did not get chastised in any way, by the way.
No, I think Bill kind of knew it was
he was laughing
yeah
because he knows it was a mockery.
It was a joke. He made a mockery of
well
that.
I don't know if it's to the level of you think it's a mockery. But,
and by
well,
the way.
No, he wouldn't say he made a mockery. It's okay when he does it. It's when anyone else does it that it would be a mockery. If Brad Childress had done that, he would have been filing complaint with the league.
Come on.
No, he would have been making fun of the league.
Right.
For allowing it to happen.
For allowing it to
I mean,
happen.
They allowed a trade that everybody on earth knows was a bad deal. You moved down a spot. There's
it was,
no way that's a
wasn't
better
just
pick
a bad
than
deal. It was an unnecessary deal.
I don't know. They
it
were
was
having
unnecessary.
They were doing a joke.
Oh,
I don't
by
know.
The way,
I don't know what it was.
Apparently, the root of this rumor
yeah.
of the trade thing,
yeah.
Andy Reid said it at either the owners' meetings or one of these group things.
Oh, the 8 years in a row.
He
or
said,
whatever.
And I don't even know if he said specifically we've done a trade every year, but he said, you know, we've done a trade almost every year with those guys.
Almost.
Or every year.
Keyword.
I don't know his exact
but
phrasing.
Isn't that great to know
but
that
somebody
these
just
national
ran
guys
it.
Don't even check it?
Yeah, fact right. check. It's very simple. Grab a media guide and flip through.
So maybe now they're making fun of the media.
At most.
And at the very least, you should do what I do
maybe.
When I made fun of it and said, but it's not true. According to the Patriots PR department, they've made just four trades.
Well, and we went back and looked, and
we did it a month ago,
the Patriots
ago,
PR staff found four trades, including this farce of a deal in the seventh round.
Farcical.
Okay. Farce.
Sham.
Yes.
Sham.
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 It's a travesty.
Sham. Wow.
It's a mockery.
Sham. Whoa. Enough.
There was one that I don't know the date of the trade, but it happened in 2000. It was like one of those compensatory trades from Dane Looker, not Dietrich Gels. We traded Dietrich Gels to Philadelphia for a seventh round pick. We then flipped that seventh round pick to San Francisco. So I guess you could argue that that's another one involving Philadelphia. I don't know if that was Bill, though. It may have been just before he was the coach because it was 2000. So I don't know exactly. I'm just going to give that to Bill and say five trades in the Belichick. Right.
Still not enough.
In the Belichick-Reed right. era. It's certainly not 8 years in a row.
And it's certainly not every year that Belichick has been coaching, which was the original report.
Yeah,
I
it would have to be.
That would be 11 years.
It's kind of weird.
It's just. And
so
it's,
maybe they were making fun of the media this
12,
is how
right?
accurate you. I don't
you
know.
Get the yeah, zero.
It was
you
kind of odd.
Year, 11, yeah. Right.
It was unnecessary, but I don't take as offense like Andy
I am.
Does.
I'm offended, and I'm only offended because of the track record of the man involved, because he takes the fun out of everything for us.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Carl in Montreal's on the line. Hey, Carl.
Hey guys. I was frustrated watching that draft. I mean, I liked the first pick at 17. I guess that means goodbye to Matt Light. And I think we can say goodbye to Logan Mankins, too.
Well, now, why do you say that?
I wouldn't go that far.
Not this year.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I don't know, man. For everything I've seen from Mankins' agent, and, I don't see him signing a long-term deal. So, I mean, if there's a season, he's forced to play with the Patriots or sit out and get no money, right? Is that it?
That's correct.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, so maybe we will have him, because I know
might be like last year where he decided to hold out for a while. I mean,
checks
you don't
would
know.
Be a lot bigger that he'd be missing though.
Yeah, I was actually at the I got frustrated at the 28th pick, because I mean, I thought we were going to take Mark Ingram. I know that we only have two running backs signed for next year. I don't know if Kevin Falk and Danny Woodhead are basically the same player to me. Falk is like a team captain, very respected, but you know, after a big injury like that and the way Danny Woodhead played last year, I mean, do we really need Kevin Falk back? So we had to draft some running backs, but I don't know why we didn't go with Michael Ashore. I mean, the guys we took I'm not very familiar with, so I can't, you know. But, I mean, everything I heard, Mark Ingram and Michael Ashore were the two best backs in that draft. Am I right?
They were the two highest rated picks.
But you're going to like Vereen, I guarantee it.
I think you
guarantee
really like
it.
I really like him too, and I think I think Andy's right. He's in that third down mold, but I think he can be more than that.
He leans more towards more every that. Down third right. down. Before you leave, can you say put the puck in the net? I love his
voice. Wait, let's talk about the organization.
Guys, I just want to touch on one more thing. Everyone's addressing the outside linebacker issue.
Yep.
There's got to be some free agency that I know there's Lamar Woodley.
Yeah, there is, but I mean, you're putting a lot of eggs in one basket. That potentially has
a
hole.
You'd be doing the same thing in the draft.
But
I mean,
I'm saying
put some eggs in the draft
and
some
eggs
in free agency.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
but that is a fair point though, because it is backwards this year, and free agency, if it ever comes, certainly has yet to come, and that is another way that they could acquire players.
All right, Carl, thank you for the call.
Hey.
Good stuff.
I want to get
Carl from?
Ross Montreal. I want to get Ross Montreal. From Glasgow off the line. Hey, Ross. Ross?
He's already off.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Are you calling all the way from Glasgow, actually?
Indeed. I've not been on the line for too long, Fred.
Okay.
Could have been worse, man.
All right. Well, thanks for
I'm
calling.
Passion, gentlemen. Loving it.
Loving it.
You're fully over the draft and no pass rusher, just like me.
That's right.
But we don't sound as cool.
Good news is a report that says that Tom Brady's expected to be ready for the 2011 season after surgery.
Well, that's good. Breaking news on ESPN.
That's reassuring.
Yeah.
No, got that going for us.
On the draft, I stayed up to 3 a.m. Drinking beer, obviously.
But that had nothing to do with the draft.
No, that was just every day. No, that's
right.
Cool.
Shouldn't it be whiskey?
That's because it was Thursday.
Yeah.
Brilliant!
Thursday.
Friday. Going back to the student days, obviously. I managed to get the vomit taste from my mouth after the soldier pick. But I'm actually starting to get on board with this draft. There's a couple of reasons. I really don't think those second-tier pass rusher guys were worth, like, 28 or 33. Just don't think they were.
How about 56 or 60?
I think the Patriots agree with you.
About 198.
And, you know, if one had been there at 56, sure, it would have been like a Cunningham.
Oh, there were guys there at 56.
Who was there?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, there were some guys.
Justin Houston was there.
Houston, but he's kind of got punk potential.
I think Brooks Reed was even.
So's the quarterback.
Unlike the quarterback that you took.
Wasn't Brooks Reed still there at 56?
Yeah, fair point.
No, he went top of the second round.
Three things that I liked about it. we heard all this stuff about Bill picking the value picks because these other positions are getting pushed down the board because of all the front seven defensive players.
Yep.
And I think the opposite might hold true for next year. All these teams that have selected these front seven players that like don't have a need anymore. So next year, and I know we don't want to think about next year, we want somebody now, but next year there might be some players that fall down a little and Bill can load up next year.
Well, he'll certainly have the flexibility again. I think one big part of the weekend was getting that two from the Raiders. Not as impressed with getting a one for a one, but you now go into next year with that same flexibility.
Two firsts, two twos, and a third.
And I'll start targeting the 6'4", 260-pound guys who run 40s now, and he can trade up and get them.
Unless their defense is that much better this year, and then you don't have to worry about it.
I'm not going
to
make the mistake of getting excited that they have multiple picks in the first two rounds because they're not going to use them effectively. I'm gonna keep expectations low.
Effectively or the way you want them to?
Well, they're one and the same.
Please,
Paul,
stop equating the record with the draft picks. Please.
Okay, all right.
But I want to get back.
We don't build through the draft.
They won't. We don't.
All right, let me explain. Paul.
Like I know we're such big players in free agency every year.
When you have multiple
things.
No, go ahead. All right, go ahead, Russ.
This is the next thing. Do you not think we have created a bit of cap space? Like we don't have to re-sign Matt Light. We don't have to re-sign the veteran running backs. With Cannon, maybe we can cut Kazier. If you cut TBC, you take a little bit of a hit in dead money, but you save some money. There's a bit of money there that you could potentially get a free agent.
I'd be worried about cutting TBC only because you don't have enough bodies to compete for the position.
Right, even if you go after a top outside linebacker.
Well, let's face it. Like, he's just an empty uniform.
Wow.
Well, but he fills the uniform.
Found somebody who thinks less of TBC than me.
Than you. But I will say that
Ross, thanks for the call.
If you judge
it's an empty uniform, but he fills it.
If you
that
judge
was an underrated line, Eric.
If you judge Belichick by his history, he does seem to prefer to get a veteran, whatever level of talent you believe that veteran is. High end, they spent money on AD and Rosie.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, but they've also gone a little bit more medium end with guys like Vrabel and, the lower end with guys like Ninkovich. It seems like he looks for guys who are already in the league that have shown that they have made that transition rather than drafting a guy and seeing if they can make the transition with him.
He's proven that doesn't work.
I think that they should maybe try another way.
There's only one way they haven't tried.
Only one they really tried it with so far through the draft is Cunningham. And certainly, I mean, there were some positives with that last year. I don't think that was a bad pick.
No, he was okay. He was okay.
He was okay.
Even I say that, you know, he was okay. But
was that anything negative to say, I don't want to try that anymore? It was
no,
a failure?
No.
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 Why not?
By the way, I'm looking at Merrill Hodge on TV. His necktie has now become a winter scarf. it's ridiculous.
Well, it is.
It's wider than his neck.
And the tie itself looks massive.
Yeah, the tie itself is
down
just
the below,
ridiculous.
It looks like it's
the tie itself is more ridiculous than Rashad Mendenhall.
Oh, good segue, Paul.
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh.
Well, I like Mendenhall on the field, by the way, not off.
Yeah.
It's okay that we draft that.
Not on Twitter.
We could draft that kind of lunatic. We just can't draft that.
I don't even think he's worth talking about, actually, what he said. It's just ridiculous.
It is. I agree.
You know, I don't think – Andy said it best this morning. His only thing now is to say he was hacked. I mean,
you got to go hack.
That's a possibility.
That's what I would do.
That's a possibility.
No, it isn't. I'm sure it's him, but I would say I was hacked.
Yeah.
Just like all these other chumps do when they realize they said something stupid on Twitter.
But can't you get caught when you do that?
No. Why would Twitter out you?
Phil from Austin says, I downloaded all three draft podcasts and enjoyed listening to them over the weekend. During the last day, I wound up laughing at Andy when he was frothing at the mouth
over
the swap.
You have no idea
over
how
the
bad
swap
he
of picks in the six. Andy, don't you think Andy Reid told Bill he wasn't going to take Bill's guy before they made the trade?
That's
I don't think that's Andy's
point,
though. No. It might have been a silly deal, but so what? These two guys trust each other. Suggestion for Andy, next year I suggest chasing your five-hour energy with shots of Jack. Great job this year, and Lindsay would be a great addition to the show. Lindsay has an open invitation. Anytime Lindsay wants to come, a chair is open right next to Eric. So anytime she wants to come.
I could say something
it.
Very inappropriate,
See, now he's
but I'm not
to get
going
me to say something. I knew it.
What?
I was going to say something very inappropriate there, but I'm not.
What?
Any drinks, Kevin? Did they come?
Robin in Alaska says the NFL Network is
I'm
set to
asking.
Air a new top 10 episode. The list is about the worst free agent pickups. Please tell me you guys were interviewed in regards to Monty Beisel and/or Adalys Thomas. No, we weren't.
Well.
What?
I'm not sure Monty Beisel would qualify.
No. Bargain
Adelis Thomas is
Adelis Thomas would get consideration, I would think.
Yeah.
Well, Monty Beisel was a bust, but not on a list like
but
that.
But I'm not. Right.
It would cost you money.
Right. So it's not really. Right. There wasn't that.
Chad
aspect
Brown would be on that
to be
list,
a bust,
too. You know.
He was a draft pick.
Chad, no, our Chad Brown.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I thought they meant Chad Jackson. Yeah, I don't think Chad Brown would be. I mean,
he's not
me,
a huge.
Javon Walker went to the Raiders, got paid tens of millions of dollars. Did he ever play, or did he play like three games and catch like two? I mean, that's a bust. At least Adelis Thomas was here for three seasons.
True.
Took you to a Super Bowl. Everybody was saying he had a great Super Bowl, best game. Yep. I mean, made a couple plays.
Yep. Let's see. Emailer writes in. You guys continue to protect Belichick. Remember, he hasn't won anything in 6 years. Who cares about the regular season? It barely counts if you can't win in the playoffs. Again, no pass elite rusher and no deep threat wide receiver. They couldn't catch up when behind, and they couldn't get pressure on opposing quarterbacks and get off the field on third down. Did they address their weaknesses? What kind of an ego does Belichick have that all he wants are the regular season statistics now that in the distant past he won three Super Bowls? That's a big presumption there. Tully Bantakane isn't getting any younger, and Belichick isn't trying to help him win more rings. Oh, Tom Brady, I'm sorry, isn't getting any younger, and Belichick isn't trying to help him win more rings. And PFW seems to be unending in your blind adulation and praise for Belichick.
What
Please
are you talking about?
Be a
no,
little
no, no. Now, now we know we're playing it right down the middle because we've been accused of both.
Wait a second.
The sky was falling from the last guy, and this guy says our never-ending.
Didn't Paul and I just say a few minutes ago that the scouts have to admit that they were wrong.
I'm
sometimes.
The one that thinks Belichick's a good coach.
Oh my God.
Please
oh
be a little God. Bit more please be a little more open-minded. He is the greatest coach of our time, but he's wasting the second half of Brady's career. Call what it was. It was a terrible draft aimed in winning games in the regular season, trading down for more choices, avoiding high-priced playmakers, and shunning the fans and Tom Brady. How about honest reporting? I think that's
what are you
going
listening
overboard.
To?
Why doesn't Belichick want to win in the postseason? Why? Well, that doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry, that's over the top. You can criticize the picks like these guys have been doing. You have a right to do that. And they've made mistakes in the past.
Since when are we apologists?
You know, if
for
you
Bill?
Criticize them for not taking Clay Matthews, there's an argument to be made that you were right. You know, but to say that Belichick is doing this to spite Tom Brady and to not just get regular season wins, it's just moronic. I'm sorry.
Did Rashard Mendenhall write that email?
Hey.
It's just moronic. Mike in Vermont says, great job covering the draft. Do you feel that the lack of any defensive line help being drafted during the first 2 days is an indication that Bill Belichick has a free agent player or players in mind? Or perhaps a trade has already been agreed to that might happen?
Hope not.
Yeah, I don't think
that could cost him his job.
That's collusion.
I don't think any
team. But then we added those draft picks for next year because we're going to lose them.
I don't think any team has any idea what's going to happen in free agency.
Yeah, and I have no doubt that there's rampant tampering going on right now all over the league.
You think so? Yeah.
Oh, there has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't think that undrafted free agents have already been contacted and agreed to?
Right. Sure.
And stuff like that?
Jason.
Well, could you tell them during the draft that you were very much interested?
I would have to think that was legal.
Yeah, while the draft is ongoing.
You're calling a guy and saying, we're thinking about taking you in the seventh round here.
Right.
But if we don't, we'll probably be interested in getting you as a free during the draft.
Or even the pre-draft process when they have the workouts and the visits.
I get to think some of them know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you might not be a draft pick, but if you're available, we'd like to sign you.
How are you cracking down on that?
You can't.
And then they took some of their priority free agents in the draft with guys like your guy.
Malcolm Williams. Unbelievable. Who's
some of them?
Position coach laughed.
A little bit of an interesting thing I came across for Markelle Carter. I'm doing his profile for the paper. Two things. His scouting report is that he's not considered an elite speed rusher.
Oh, great.
He sounds like more like Jermaine Cunningham, an effort, power, rusher type guy than first step speed. But he did play. He's 250 right now. He did play at 270 pounds 2 years ago and then got a little lighter and actually got more productive after he got lighter. But in terms of weight change and if they were to ask him to put some weight on or whatever, seems like he has that ability.
He could be like Kirkland.
LeVon Kirkland?
LeVon. Yeah. Kirkland played at about 270, 280.
Didn't love the fact that it kind of listed him as more of an effort pass rusher, not an elite speed kind of guy. I was hoping at least the small school guy would be an elite
I would think
potential.
That was an elite athlete, yeah.
Let's
based
go to,
on, you said that he only had like six sacks,
banged out
right?
phone lines.
Six, five, yeah, the last 2 years, I believe.
Let's go to the phone lines, the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. Murph in Connecticut's on the line. Hey, Murph.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great.
Great show. I had to grade this draft to C right off the bat from the first round after I saw that
okay.
We basically gave our first round to New Orleans. You know, the two New Orleans two first round picks I would have loved to have had.
We
and
didn't
it
need,
just seems like
we didn't need Mark
Ingram. Wants to trade down to show us how smart he is and how stupid we are.
Well, they took Solder because they wanted Solder. There was no
yeah.
trade
well, they,
involved
they
there.
They took Solder, but that those holes could be filled with money. We're talking. We're in uncapped years. We're one of the richest teams in the NFL, and we can't spend the cash.
Well, any hole can be filled with money if you're going to use
well,
that
yeah,
approach.
But
you can go get Julius Peppers. You can
so
get
what
any
did,
pass rusher.
So wait,
you can get
wait,
anything.
Yeah, but we're already talking people that are here in our system that all they want to do is be paid.
But what? Oh, so you're saying they could have just re-signed Matt Light and then gone somewhere else with 17?
Exactly.
Okay. Where did you want them to go with 17 that would have made you feel better?
With 17, I would have been happy with Cam Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been a fine
been
pick.
I with Cam Jordan.
That would have been a fine
actually,
pick.
I actually
sort of threw that one out there on All Access. Cam Jordan would have made sense. Would not have done a thing to improve your pass rush.
In my pre-draft, I had Kerrigan going to us at 17, but he went one pick earlier.
Right. That's where I think you could argue in terms of the money is, and we talked about this a lot over the weekend, at 14, Robert Quinn goes. At 16, Ryan Kerrigan goes. Mm-hmm. You're sitting there at 17 with another pick at 28 and then 33. It would have
yep.
been very easy, in my opinion, to move up a spot or two and get one of those two edge guys. And I think
me too.
And I think it's filling a bigger need. Now,
but what
I like the Soldier pick because I think, like I said,
this isn't
it was a good value. It was good value and good
he's going to be a
need.
Good player.
Soldier,
but all he's doing is replacing what we already have.
Right, but
that
for another year,
spend the money to keep.
But for another year at the most, at some point you're going to need to replace Matt Light. And they decided to do it now with a pick that
and
they
the
feel
hope is
good.
He'll be better than Matt Light.
Yeah.
Not that he's going to be Matt Light.
But at some point you need to replace Matt Light.
Mm-hmm.
Even
mm-hmm.
if you do it this year or next year, they had an opportunity to do it this year. I have no problem with that pick.
All right.
I can see your point.
Now the other part, I think the New Orleans trade I think was highway robbery. I think
yeah.
they got I think that was worth a first round pick and they got a first round pick and a second round pick. To me that was highway robbery what they did to the Saints.
Oh, well, we got a first round pick that's going to be basically a replacement of the one that we gave them.
Right,
or even lower.
But even if it is, you added a second round pick.
But we're not going to use it anyway.
Well, you already did.
When does the train end and we actually cash in on all of this draft wealth that we keep stockpiling for next year?
I'm with you on that point.
When they make the Super Bowl this year, it'll be fine.
Been a long time, guys.
I know. For a lot of teams.
It's been a while. It's been a while since we won a playoff game.
These fans are tough.
It's tough.
He's right about that.
Is he wrong?
It's not wrong, but I mean, you know how hard it is to win football games in the NFL
and
to
sure
do what the Patriots do year after. You know how hard
year
that
after,
is.
Year after,
you know why
we're spoiled? But it seems like we're.
Do you know why most teams can't
our wheels
do
at
because they don't have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady?
Do you know why most teams can't do what the Patriots do? Because they're not as good as the Patriots.
They don't have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
The coaching staff isn't as good. The front office staff isn't as good. But at some point in time, if you don't cash a check that you have, it becomes worthless.
It's usually 90 days.
He's right.
Yeah. 90 days. It's been 5 years.
They've been cashing these checks in some form or fashion, whether or not you like what they're doing with it. They're using this stuff. It's just you want to just go and get players.
I want the talent to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Right now I'd like the talent to win a first round game.
You know, so but you know, Thanks for the call, Murph.
I don't think Murph was joking, and I think
I don't think he is either.
No, I'm gonna give him the. I mean, I think that
I still left.
I think it's a legitimate.
They can't win one, so
I think it's a legitimate concern. Now, do we stink? No, he's not saying that. He's saying that we have enough talent to be good. We don't have enough talent to be great. I don't think that's irrational.
Know? And I think the front office and Bill Belichick and his coaching staff are working on that for us.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. You know, the Steinbrenner thing, you know, just because you're standing on third doesn't mean you hit a triple. You know, and I think that you kind of look at it. I think Belichick, I mean, I can't state this. I know that, Fred, you're the one who thinks that Belichick's a good coach on this panel. But I actually think I probably actually think more of his coaching ability than you do, because I don't think that much of his GM ability. And I think the reason why they go 14-2 is he's that good. I think he's squeezing more blood out of this stone than you could possibly get, because I don't think they're that good. Capital T.
Right. 14-2
talent wise. Right.
Just because you went 14-2 doesn't mean you're a 14-2 team.
It's like Tully Bantakane.
That's my triple theory.
Because you had 10 sacks, mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're a 10-sack.
That's right.
And I think that they went about this draft Paycheck like they think so they're well. A 14-2 team.
It's true. It's basic.
Now we'll see. Maybe these guys will pay. I think they got a lot of guys who don't figure to help the 2011 team. They better hope they don't need help from this draft class.
Jason and Chiba, Japan people often say to one another, Osukar sama.
Oh, sucker sama.
Thank you for your hard work. I wanted to thank you for your hard work over the weekend. We appreciate it as always. Opinions on the new face at outside linebacker who was drafted after you went off air Saturday. Did I answer my own question by saying after you went off air Saturday?
Yeah.
On the famous Quinn to Cut scale, where does, wait while I look it up, Markell Carter rank?
Closer to cut than Quinn, clearly. I will say he visited with a number of teams pre-draft doing a little research. The Packers, he thought he was going to the Packers. They were very much interested. He also visited with some 4-3 teams like Tampa, Jacksonville, a couple others maybe. I don't think he has that elite athleticism. Even Paul, he misled me when he said, I went to Central Arkansas as a receiver, and then I ended up playing. Well, sounds like you were a tight end, actually, which I guess is a receiver, a pass catcher. But
you think wide receiver.
I was thinking like deep threat Randy Moss receiver, 6'4", 225 guy, and he grew a little whatever. Doesn't sound like he was quite that, and it doesn't sound like he has the elite first step and all that. So, we'll see. I wouldn't be expecting him to do virtually anything this year.
Giovanni in Arizona. Well,
Kyle Arrington can rush the passer.
Based on what you've read, do you think, I mean, this is a ridiculously hard question to ask, but based on what you've read and the research you've done, does he make the team? It is a hard question. I know.
I would say yes.
Unfair.
Just because the lack of anything.
Of the depth, yes.
Right.
Not because of anything you've read special
just
about
to have
him.
A 6'4" body with some length and a little athleticism.
Yeah.
I'm
expecting him to make the team,
but
too. I don't know why, but I am.
Just I may go
the
out
depth
there
depth issue.
Yeah,
really?
I may go out there the first day of practice, see him do something, and go, wow,
yeah,
this guy looks like he played D2 football.
And just so you know, there's nothing that excites me more than when Andy Hart goes out and makes his 5-minute evaluations on OTAs and minicamps.
Right, with no pads.
No pads.
He can't play.
I'm usually right.
You're always white, right?
White?
According to you,
I'm always white.
You know, Dave Thomas making it look easy, that type of thing. Giovanni and Chandler,
Arizona. A little bit more.
That's you. You're
how in the hell are Paul and Eric arguing
Whitey,
with Fred?
Where's your hat?
Why are they arguing with Fred? Did Fred make the picks? Someone's got to make some justification for these picks since the Patriots haven't. Over the past months, Andy, Eric, and even Paul have given great reviews and previews of all these draft picks, none of which it seemed the Pats even considered, well, except Vereen. We all know, as Pats fans, what we think the team's needs are, but maybe the Pats have something else in mind. Hell, I'd even like to see us take Herzlick. Taking defensive backs is beyond me. Sure, Paul, Rozai Dowling is a good player, as is McCourty, but I feel like we need to spread the good players out to different positions. What are we going to rely on? A QB running around in the pocket for 17 seconds without getting sacked and hope he throws a pick? Not a great defensive plan. As always, Jets are garbage, Andy is awesome, and Ken Walter rocks.
Woo!
Let's see. And Chris,
hard to argue with that, by the way.
Chris in Narragansett says, maybe with all the outside linebacker talent picked by other teams, Bill figures there will be veterans looking for jobs. use the picks on other needs instead. Well, I don't know about
there's
that.
There's not a whole lot out there either. Don't get your hopes up with free agency because there's not. It's not like there's a wealth of talent out there. There are very few players who are worth going after that could fit the system, that could make an impact.
What do you guys think? There seems to be like a theory that circulated a little bit on the radio yesterday. Because of the lockout and the potential for these rookies not to really get in the program, it's widely thought that this rookie class is not going to have as big an impact as the average rookie class because they're not going to be part of OTAs and rookie minicamps.
Yeah, theoretically plausible.
Should that impact your drafting?
No,
not at all.
I think you're taking the talent.
Wouldn't that run completely counter to everything Bill Belichick has done and preached in his time here?
Mm-hmm.
We do what's in the best interests of the team.
Right.
Long term, short term.
Right.
Sure.
So I mean,
I can see how it would sway you a little bit to. Well, Marcus Cannon's not going to play this year anyway, so there's a little bit more reason.
But that's a fifth-round pick.
To take a chance.
I have no problem with Marcus Cannon.
But no, then why did you draft Brandon Tate if he wasn't going to have a great rookie season, if he wasn't going to contribute? I mean, I think you're taking the talent. You're taking the sum, which is 4 years, 6 years,
and not just the draft. Why do you sign a guy or pick up a guy like Josh Barrett, who you knew was going to be on IR all year?
Right.
And writing the analysis,
if you're not thinking
sort of
long term,
I think you can make an argument for almost all of the picks individually. It's the picks as a whole that I think I'm left scratching my head about. How, you know, and you counted them down, Andy, when you first came in, as Fred is mesmerized by yet another infomercial.
I think he needs WeatherTech car mats.
WeatherTech car mats.
You don't have rubber mats in your
model in the infomercial. Yeah.
But
the rubber's nice. You just take them out, dump them, wash them.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
I have those too, Andy.
Yeah.
They're really nice. I just washed mine like last week and they look like new.
Make sure you use them.
You have the WeatherTech?
Yeah.
Yeah. What were you saying, Paul?
Forget it.
I just wanted to make sure he used them.
Eric.
I don't want him
what's up?
I know Fred likes to give you a hard time of how you look and what you're wearing for the show. Maybe you should return the favor right now.
Fred has...
There's no buffalo sauce on
Fred
him.
Fred has a peach button-down collared shirt on, but he's got tufted... where his chest hair is usually protruding from, he has a napkin... completely unraveled and tucked into his
it's like George Washington with the
well, the last time I had these buffalo wings, I got it all over myself, so this time I'm taking precautions.
Think those new banking commercials with Alexander Hamilton. Yes, that's what you look like right now.
Father of banking.
Let's go to the phones. Eldridge from North Carolina.
Yes.
Hey, Eldridge, how you doing?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
My man.
Doing great.
What's up? Yes, sir. I'm scratching my head about these picks, too. But I'm like that caller just called. We had all the check, but you don't want to check cash in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just said for the whole year, you need a wide receiver because that small ball ain't going to get us into the playoff. And one thing that scratched my head the most is that number 28th pick. We had a chance to get Mark Ingram and you traded to New Orleans. Then you pick up two backs, one run outside, one run inside. Ingram would be that back. That don't make sense to me.
It does kind of make sense. Paul kind of brought this up earlier. Bill doesn't really like, it seems, or he prefers the committee approach that he's had the last few years, and these guys are younger replacements for the types of committee players that they've had. Vereen is more like a Kevin Falk. Ridley's more like
accurate,
a Sammy Morris.
But I do think there's that's another area where you would be within your rights to question. They had a chance to get a better back who could perform one of those roles anyway.
Yeah, they
traded. Now, personally, I don't really like Mark Ingram, so I'd rather have Vereen and Ridley.
The first-round pick next year.
Yeah, I'd rather have Vereen in the first-round pick next year and then get another guy like they got with Ridley. I don't understand, and I said this before Andy got here, I don't get the back-to-back running backs. I think you could have gotten
that's the criticism.
The Ridley back, I think, could have been had two rounds later. It may have actually been Ridley if you waited, but I think there were a couple of other guys, and we mentioned DeLon Carter as one who went in the fourth round. There were other guys in that mold.
Jordan Todman went in the seventh.
That could have been had. But Ingram personally, Eldridge, I'm okay with that.
Well, another scratch my head is we took Rajah Dowling, who's been hurt for the last 2 or 3 years, was coming out of high school, and there's Aaron Williamson right there that we could have grabbed, but Buffalo grabbed him. I think he's a better back.
Well, I mean, that's the thing with Dowling. I think overall in talent, I think Razai is the better back. But you mentioned the injury, and I think that's where you're taking the chance with him, because he's one of those guys that always seems to have something nagging, at least from the reports that I read.
The last 3 years in high school. Then I would have traded up and got A.J. Green. That'd be a random replacement. I would have did that.
I don't know. The cost of doing business based on what the Falcons gave up to get Julio Jones. That would have been a big trade.
Okay, but see, that's our number one receiver right there. You put these young in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you had the best offense in football last year. How about the defense?
Yeah, you had the best offense in football last year, but like I said, when it came down to it, Jet shut us down just like San Diego should have.
Yeah, true that.
I heard Thomas Dimitroff yesterday defending that move, and, you know, he was defensive because he said, you know, everyone says we gave up a first-round pick. We didn't. We got their first-round pick. Wow. We really didn't.
They gave one up next year. Didn't they?
Yeah, but that's next year.
Well, people say, I mean, two first-round picks, you know. Yeah. They only really gave up one.
He's right. Everybody I've seen has said two firsts, a second, and a web. No, it's not. When
you gave up
spots,
a first.
When you switch spots, you don't lose a first-round pick.
Right.
And Eldridge, just a point, if they had had a defense that could get to the quarterback, they would have destroyed Mark Sanchez in the playoffs, and they would have won that game.
Well, okay, that's another thing. You had J.J. Ayers was sitting there. We didn't get him. You had
Quinn.
There's another defensive end sitting there, and we didn't get them.
Jabal Sheard, Brooks Reed, Justin Houston, and Akeem Ayers. So four guys.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe they didn't think any of them could play.
Well,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I have
the
no doubt.
The backup gunner can play.
I mean,
I have no doubt that that's their evaluation. We'll find out.
Right.
I'll guarantee you one of those guys will end up being a good football player.
But my question is, one more thing is this. Okay. We went defensive back. We got no pass rusher. And that mallet pick, maybe something for the future.
Yep.
But
it's not for the present.
That's a trade value. That's all I can think of.
It could be that, too. But I think, yeah. Thanks for the call, Aldrin. We'll talk about mallet. The mallet pick, when they picked him, I was beside myself.
Fred went into orbit unlike I've ever seen on draft.
I just wanted someone who can play this year. Mallet may never see the field on this team, and if we're lucky, he won't.
You might have to see the field a little if you're going to maximize the trade.
Well, that's the hard part is if your idea is to deal him and he never gets a chance to play, I don't know how much you're going to be able to get for him.
Right.
You know?
He'll have to play for you to get a one.
And you don't want him to play. So,
but he might.
He might.
Because you got by with two.
Now, do you think he can, come in here and legitimately push Hoyer?
Well, you bring up a good point.
Not now or 2 years?
If he's as football savvy as Bill tries to paint it out to be,
have a hard time with,
but if he
based
is,
on the way he plays.
I'm just taking it at face value. If he is, then yes, I think he could push him.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up a good point, Paul. You know, because every position within a team needs competition. And let's face it, at the quarterback position, there hasn't been any.
Right.
Even for the second guy. Right now, Hoyer doesn't have anyone pushing
him.
I'm
wondering if having a legitimate heir to the throne is more of a push to Brady than Hoyer.
I think it serves both, you know.
Hoyer is what he is. Hoyer's never going to be complacent.
Well,
he's an undrafted free agent who's never had a chance to play. He's never going to be comfortable in his quote-unquote, I'm secure in my role as Tom Brady's backup, because all it would take
Scott
is...
Scott Zolak was.
For 11 years. You know, I mean, the difference is...
Some good stories?
My point being that I don't think Brian Hoyer is in a situation where he's going to rest on his laurels of being Tom Brady's caddy. Right. I think that... He's happy, but he knows that all it would take is Bill Belichick to not be the coach. And he might, the next guy who comes in might not think any. They might, you mean not every coach doesn't mind that my 15-yard out has a bend in it?
But now all it could take is Ryan Mallett playing better than him in practice and he could lose his job, whereas before that didn't exist.
Right, but he's not going to feel any more pressure is my point.
I think Hoyer is the way he is and he's going to stay that way because of the nature of his position in life.
He's not secure.
He can never get complacent.
Yeah. He's not secure. Tom Brady.
Let's revisit that. I want to talk about that.
Do you think there's any validity to that?
No.
Tom Brady might have. They're not going to. You know, no matter how good Brian Hoyer plays in practice, he ain't going to ever get by me. But maybe this guy comes in, you know, and he shows all these wonderful skills. Not in 2011. but
so you think he needs pushing?
Maybe they think he needs pushing.
Didn't he just win the MVP?
Personally, I just saw him come off the best year he's ever had. So I don't know what kind of pushing he needs. But why?
You know you can argue both sides.
Uh-oh, it's the big one.
Uh-oh. Get What's the paddles, on? Jason!
Get something!
Jason, get the paddles!
What's going on? Did a pepper go up your nose or something?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You'll never get your arms around him for the Heimlich. It's going to take three of us.
All right, let's call 911 and
you need a break, Freddie?
And let's take a break.
No, I get some cayenne pepper right up my nose.
That's as red as I've ever seen.
We haven't taken a break
yet. Let's take a break.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast, and it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Brett!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epocher. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You ask,
how come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to four lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right, back here. PFW in progress. I'm okay. I just got a little pepper up my nose.
I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay.
Everything's good here.
It's like one of those motivational things. Oh. Right? You probably know the origins of
that. I don't know that one.
The phones are lit
up. Did
I
mispronounce any of the words?
I got new headphones.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You look like something from out of space.
Yeah, they're the HD 280 from Zephyrhauser.
You look like you're on the DA show contacting the mothership.
By the way, when Sunday night when they announced that President Obama was going to make a dramatic announcement about national security, I told my wife, this is either we got Bin Laden or we've been contacted by space aliens. And I was kind of hoping for the second more. And then I said to her, but the best would be we were contacted by space aliens and their technology helped us find Bin Laden cure cancer.
A great coup for your guy, Freddie.
I have an informal poll I'd like our listeners to chime in. Freddie?
Well, I think that was intentional.
Yep. Anybody who has been to the draft party, the first round night of the draft party,
Did you think Andy, Paul, and Eric were the best part of the party?
Well, that's a good one too. That can be sort of a secondary question. But
how about
we saw the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of people be sort of disgruntled that they, you know, paid to go to the draft party and then the picks weren't exactly what they thought and there was a lot of trading down. So the idea that Team PFW came up with about a year ago was
mostly Eric, if it's stupid,
was to have the draft party on Friday night, so that you can. There's usually more picks involving the Patriots on day two, in the second round, third round, and you can get the player or players that were picked in the first round to come and make an appearance at the draft party Friday night.
I think that's a home run if you can get those guys to come. That's a home run.
So my question to the listeners is, if you had the ability to attend the draft party, would you prefer the first night for round one or the second night, given the scenario that we just described?
And we have to have a fair amount of listeners that are regulars at the draft party, like Mike and Sharon. We saw him there, even though he blew us off.
Yeah. Why is he boycotting us?
I don't know. I forget.
I think it was something relatively... I sound funny.
Yeah, I don't think we should...
It was relatively serious.
No, I forget.
Okay.
I forget why he wouldn't talk to us.
Mahalo?
Let's see. Let's go to the phone lines. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Chris with the TIANs on the line. Hey, Christian.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
Right. We're, you know, just going over this draft thing here.
Yeah, me too.
I guess you're falling on the negative side.
I've come around. I watched Pass of the Draft on Sunday night, and I was misinformed.
Uh-oh.
Because Michael Lombardi, Mike Mayock, and Charles Davis, those three mamelukes, tripped over themselves to give the draft just Lottie its value, and the Mallet pick was for value. Yeah.
Now, which one was...
You're absolutely right, Chris.
Which one was in Belichick's left pocket, and which one was in his right pocket?
Which one was
I get confused.
I think Davis was in his front pocket. But no, seriously, you want to know the whole thing? The biggest thing that worried me the whole weekend? Jonathan Kraft on EEI. Okay?
What's that? I don't know if we you might have a bad connection. What?
Jonathan Kraft said that the roster is pretty, they have one of the most set rosters in the league, and they went 14-2 last year, so there's not a whole lot of holes.
Well, credence to my theory that they think they're a 14-2 team.
Well, I mean,
the only reason I get this frustrated is because I want the team to do well. You guys know that.
No, I do.
That's the only reason why we get that way. And that's
so do we.
I do, but let's
so
not say, you know, it is a funny dynamic to me the way the national draft guys, they do, just like Christian said, they fall all over themselves to take an out-of-the-box pick that Bill makes and just examine it, you know, five different ways to say how brilliant it was. You know,
NFL.com, I saw a tweet. Belichick gets an A or something.
You know, let's forget about the bad drafting teams, but how about the teams that have been good for, like Pittsburgh?
Kevin Colbert.
If Kevin Colbert picked a kid who is just coming off a chemo treatment and another kid who they don't need whatsoever in a quarterback, you know, right after they re-sign Ben, they would kill him. The national guys would kill him. Even if it were, forget about the Raiders analogy, because the Raiders would get killed, rightly so, because those are the kinds of moves they always make. But even teams that pick well would get killed for having all of these kinds of picks. Here, it warrants an A+. Clifton Brown, Sporting News.
Kuiper was critical, right?
A+. Yes, but he's critical of everybody.
Let's just be. That's his job.
C+, I think he got. And here's the thing. If you went into that draft and said, I think their biggest needs, unlike most people, I don't think pass rush is a big need. I think Jermaine Cunningham is going to blossom into a 15-sack guy this year. I think Rob Ninkovic is going to be a good situation. Let's just say that was your mindset. They needed a tackle. They needed some running backs for their committee. They need A+. I think they hit them all. I think they got the best guy every spot. Fine. Clifton Brown said in his analysis they didn't come away with a pass rusher that they needed, but all the good things that he thought about the draft, A+. So you're acknowledging that their biggest need they didn't address, and you're saying they couldn't have done any better in the draft. That, to me, is impossible.
I think these headphones are too clear.
You really?
Right? Oh, especially when I'm talking, huh? You don't really want to hear me.
Why? No, but hearing? I can hear, like...
Are you picking up signals from outer space?
Wind and...
You can hear Fred when he's, like, passing
I can hear
gas?
Everything. These
wind.
Are tremendous.
That's probably me breathing.
It could be.
Yeah, because there's no wind. Well, there could be
still
wind
recovering.
They are
the
ridiculously
up the
tight, though. They are squeezing my head too.
I am your father.
How much do
voices
we,
in his head?
You know, I brought this up over the weekend for Taylor Price, saying that maybe no receiver was an indication they like Taylor Price. They think he can fill that role. But do you use that? Do you take it to the next step, Paul, and say Cunningham, that they really believe that they have whatever? Because he said at least once, if not twice, we're young and good at linebacker.
Sure he did.
And that's, you know, outside linebacker is part of linebacker, too. I don't think he could only be talking about
Brandon
inside.
Brandon Spikes, sure.
So, and Mayo. I mean, Mayo is the heart of that linebacking core. He's the only proven commodity on that linebacking core. But do we read into it that he does feel good
about?
Well,
I think that's what a lot of people are doing, and I think...
Well, there's one of two answers. It's either that or the free agency thing. He's got to have somebody.
I think that to a fault, he does not vary from his evaluation.
Or it could be a third, which is... I do believe we need help there, but I just wasn't able to do it in the draft.
But you were able to do it.
But that's what I think he does. I think he looks at it and says, Dowling is that much better than my biggest needs guy that I have on the board.
But I'm not even going
that
high.
That's what he feels.
I wrote it late in the draft when they took Eric's backup gunner. If you're going to take a chance on something there, Greg Romeus, the kid out of Pittsburgh,
well,
tons
of injuries.
Well,
you take the chance because you think he can do it. You don't take the chance because you don't think he can do it and take him anyway.
You're telling me that he took a backup cornerback that played in the Mountain West Conference and he thinks he can do it?
You know, maybe
Greg Romeus
like I said, maybe
or Mark Herzlick were former defensive players of the year in major college football conferences,
right?
With issues, you don't take a chance on one of those guys, and it's a need. Yeah. And if it hits, it hits.
I know.
Why would you do that?
I'm talking more. I have no rational explanation for that. I was talking more higher in the draft.
No, but I'm saying he already showed in the first seven picks or whatever that he was willing to roll the dice, take chances
and
on certain things.
People won't rip you and be disappointed if you gamble on those kind of guys because they say exactly what you just said. Oh, it's a need. These guys were former player of the year. And
if you hit big.
Right. Well, first of all, no one ever deserves to get ripped for a sixth or seventh round pick anyway. But do you remember before they took Mayo and everybody, you know, for a couple of years – that seemed to be a pick that was two or three years late, too.
Right.
And everybody kept saying, maybe he doesn't think their linebackers are as big a problem as we all do. Well, clearly he did. He just kept biding his time until he got the guy that he wanted.
But he didn't.
I think that... What do you mean he didn't?
I don't know. Patrick Willis is better, and he went a year earlier.
Well, but he didn't have access to him.
He never has access. Why does he have so much flexibility if he never has access?
Because they're good. Because they draft low.
They could have access if they decide
they
to be aggressive
to
and
any
trade
damn
up.
Thing they want.
But wait a minute. That's
you
not,
think we're the only team in the
fair.
League vying for these players?
And plus, you make it
he
sound...
Went, he didn't go one overall. He went 11 or 11.
I know a lot of fans think... that we can have any draft pick or free agent that is available. They'll come. But that's not the case all the time.
But
that's because
you
tell them that all the time.
Shh.
For once, I'm arguing the other side.
But Andy, to say the Willis thing, I think is a little bit unfair.
No, but my
you
point
make
is,
it sound like everybody knew that this guy was going to be the next great.
They did
linebacker.
They
I
did.
Mean, there was no chance that he was going to be worth giving up three.
That's
picks
what he
for.
Was sold as.
But he might not have
he
been
was
worth
great.
That.
But my point is, you said you know he waited. It was two or three years too late till he found the guy he wanted. Well, he didn't even find the best guy. The best guy went a year earlier, a pick later.
But my point being that
right,
everybody right. made the assumption.
Thank
that
you, Eric.
Maybe
I need an ally. No, insanity and reason.
I'm not disagreeing with
versus
you.
Versus Homer
and Simpson.
That was good, Eric.
Sorry.
Which one am I?
Oh, you're Simpson. You look just like him. What? Round around the middle. The jiggle test.
Let's get to an email. Mike in Rhode Island. The Pats take the best value in the draft every year. People are complaining that they haven't won a playoff game in 3 years when there are teams like the Bills and Texans that haven't been in the playoffs in over 10 years.
We're better than them.
You don't want to pass on a guy you have rated higher.
Is that the rallying cry
just
for
0-11? Position that
better
you have
than Buffalo.
Stop saying 0-11.
You don't want to pass on a guy you have rated higher just to fill a position that you have a bigger need in this year. Look at all
can
the
you stop
past-
again because I need to get this rant out yet again. We understand they picked the guys they had rated highest. We're questioning their evaluations.
Right.
Proceed.
Look at all the pass rushers taken every year in the first round. They have very high bust rate. Every year you guys fall in love with one or two players, and none of them seem to pan out.
Oh, that's not fair. Sergio Kindle fell down the stairs.
Your question why we didn't take Clay Matthews now, but listening to your questioning.
I've not questioned
not
that.
Once, because I thought it was a third-round special team backup. Yeah. Thank you very much.
I said that I was wrong on the evaluation. Right.
But the Patriots were wrong, too.
I have.
When you reach on
wrong.
Pass rushers because it fills a need, you potentially end up in the same position the next year. And by the time you fill one, you're sitting there with a retired Matt Light, no left tackle. Kyle Arrington is your number one cornerback instead of your number two. Eugene Wilson starting at safety instead of Pat Chung.
Winning
and Gary
Bulls.
Guyton as your starting middle linebacker instead of Jerod Mayo. I like taking the best player every year instead of the best pass rusher. Here's a list of some
but
of
But you assume that's what we do.
Well, that's
and by the way, if we ever take the best pass rusher, we'll move on to another position.
But my point
it's just been the biggest need for a few years
I have
now.
No problems taking the best player available at every spot either. But you guys operate under the assumption that that's what we do.
Here's a list of some of the highest-rated pass rushers we passed on in the past few years when we used our first pick. 2010, Sergio Kindle versus Devin McCourty. 2009, Everett Brown versus Patrick Chung. 2008, Lawrence Jackson versus Jerod Mayo. 2007, Anthony Spencer versus Brandon Merriweather. Yeah, I'll take the guys we have instead.
Oh,
you take Brandon Merriweather over Anthony Spencer?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Please.
I knew you guys would yell
that.
That's ridiculous.
Were available.
Yeah.
And who's to say that an Everett Brown or...
With Bill Belichick coaching him.
Exactly. You're exactly right, Paul. Who's to say that they wouldn't have blossomed in this defense under the coaching of this head coach as opposed to the teams that did take them and the coaches that they did have.
But beyond that, Bill said, if you take a guy just for a need and
he's not
the right guy, you're in the same position next year. Well, you're going to be in the same position next year anyway if you don't take the guy. And if you take a guy and try who's actually plays the position, maybe you won't have Kyle Arrington lining up at outside linebacker in the middle of the season. If you took a guy, he might not be DeMarcus Ware, but maybe he's functional. Maybe he's okay.
He can play outside linebacker at the NFL level.
Maybe he's not getting batted around by a left tackle. Right?
Yeah.
Right, Fred?
Sure.
Right? No, I want you to listen and say right.
Steve in New Hampshire wants to address the complainers, 508-298-0398. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's Thanks up? For holding on.
Hey, oh, yeah. I love you guys.
Hey, what's your wife's name?
It's Suzanne.
Suzanne, Sue, yeah.
She's not my wife, girlfriend.
Oh. What's your wife's name?
Oh! May they never meet.
Oh, yeah. May they never meet. Yeah.
Well, unless anyway. They want to, you know.
And, yeah, that'd be cool, too. But anyway, no, honest to God, you guys, thank you. You guys had a great, great draft show. I loved it. You know, I love you guys.
Shows.
Tell you,
shows. Multiple.
What I'm listening to, and I got to say it this way.
Unless you only like one.
I keep hearing people call up and say, I had so-and-so on my draft board. I would have done this. I would have done that. And I'm going, you know. This is driving me nuts because I'm going, I remember calling a couple weeks ago and I said, hey, you know, I'm hearing everything about the pass rusher, but in my opinion, I want an offensive line. I got what I wanted. Not that it matters because all I am is a spectator of a sport that I love. And you know what? I was born in 1960 and I think that's when the Pats started. I think I started playing Pop Warner when I was like 11 or 12 and I fell in love with the Pats. And you know what? It took a long time. I got to go to Super Bowl 36. I love this team, win or lose, and anybody complaining about what these guys are doing, I'm sorry, I think we've won 3 Super Bowls in our lifetime, and I'm going, I'm good with everything. I am totally happy with this team, happy with the picks. You know, I get frustrated like anybody, but it doesn't matter to me. I think there's going to be a great football team on the field this year, just like last year, just like the last 10 years. People... Just have faith. I mean, how can you not have faith with what we've done and we still got that same structure core that's holding this thing together? You gotta give it up and let it go and say, I'm just going to enjoy it.
Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch.
Steve from New Hampshire.
No, absolutely. I mean, you got to.
Ultimate faith. Yeah. I didn't hear him questioning the Ryan Mallett pick. You lost your job.
I look.
You're out, Fred.
I just want.
Sorry, you're out.
Steve
I need a wartime.
Faith. Steve has a little
I need
faith.
A wartime, Calcieri. You're out.
Let's get to another email. Killian from Ireland writes in, to be honest, I'm sick of this trading down crap as we always try and get value. What the hell does value mean if we always trade down and take scrubs? Ron Brace, Wheatley, Crable, David Thomas. The list is endless. Why don't we ever trade up and get value the other way instead of trading down, such as Gronkowski? I think Bill is the greatest coach ever. I just think his drafting method should be a bit more flexible.
No disagreement there.
And we've talked about that in comparison to the Jets because they've been the trade-up team for the last few years, and they've gotten less players, but They've gotten a lot of impact players, and they play longer into January than the Patriots have of late.
Daniel writes in, I qualify this statement with the fact that I have almost no problem with the number of picks, especially Solder and the running backs. But seriously, Belichick's draft philosophy seems incredibly contradictory. I feel as though we've been sold that Bill passes on these pass rushers every year because they can't grasp the defensive system. How complicated can it be? It seems as though the sum of the defense for the past 4 years has been a four-letter word.
Poop.
Suck.
Mayo.
Is Bill a three-time Super Bowl winning coach or not? Does he have no faith in his ability to coach up a passing rush, pass rush talent? Okay, maybe as a rookie they do one thing well. Does that mean they're incapable of improving their game? On top of that, he takes a guy that does one thing well anyway in Tully Bannacane, yet he can't take these top-tier rookies because they might be Tully Bannacane. Love the coach. Don't understand the GM.
That was good.
See, I would take the – I think his mentality should have been this year, not in the first round maybe, but I got to get a pass rush. If the guy can only pass rush, okay, I'll try that, and then we'll fill in around it. I think Eric's right. They're putting a lot of eggs in some basket that might be a broken basket.
TG and NJ says, Paul gets dissed again. That was great. Paul was trying to make a point about the draft, and Fred gets distracted with floor mats, and off on the tangent we go.
Well, the best part is it's not even cool. Like, at least some of the commercials
I have
a big boobed girl in
it. I have no idea what his fascination
was.
There was a still picture of a model with a nice rack.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On the floor mats?
Yeah.
I don't get it. It was, you know. Eric and I were like looking at each other like, really? That's what caused him to completely lose his train of focus?
And Paul's point was, classic PFW, it's going to be a long off season.
Yes.
And anyway, I agree with your point, Paul. I was going to say.
I agree.
So.
I guess.
John in Clearwater says, it's not bad enough Fred is dying from choking, but you guys have to remove any oxygen that's left in him by making him laugh. Brilliant.
We just wanted to expedite the process.
Well, Doc came in and
Doc tried to do the
gave
Heimlich.
Me the Heimlich.
Actually, he was humping you.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. I felt uncomfortable.
Did he grope you a little bit?
Did he grab your breast?
508-298-0398 is
those
the ACB hotline.
Breasts.
Larry and Whiskers calling. You're just calling to see if I was okay. Hey, Larry.
How you doing?
Good.
Yes, I called while you were choking.
Yeah.
He made it.
Yes, that I can. Thank you. The mats are good, by the way.
Are they?
They're great winter mats.
WeatherTech?
They come out now and put in rugs.
Okay.
They're uncomfortable on bare feet.
Are you supposed to drive a lot with bare feet?
In the summer.
What are you, Fred Flintstone?
I don't think that's safe.
I do that.
I always thought that was against the law.
I do that as well. I drive with bare feet all the time.
Although I have driven in my pajamas. Have you ever done that?
Because I live on the beach.
Many times.
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't really have
PJs?
Pajamas.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Sweatpants are like pajamas.
Right.
I've gone to the store.
Well, you have to pick your kid up late at night. You're like, I'm just going to.
Paul takes his wife out to dinner in PJs. It's cool.
Right.
I heard rumors that Seattle was looking at Hoyer.
I hadn't heard that rumor.
I don't know.
ESPN.
Well,
NFL,
back
in like.
Let me guess. Mike Mayock and Michael Lombardi.
I will say I was stunned. Who was it? Somebody did start to throw around the name Brian Hoyer as a trade possibility.
Because he will be the next Castle.
Yeah, but he hasn't proven anything, and he's not nearly physically as
gifted.
What
exactly is that, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
They think that
Pro Bowl playoff quarterback.
This guy is so good, they don't need to have three.
Then he ain't the next Castle, then.
No, it's amazing. I think the myth of these backup quarterbacks.
Hey, as long as they give you a draft choice.
Right. But I can't imagine someone is that in love with Hoyer at this point. He hasn't done anything.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm not. But Seattle was mentioned, and they didn't get their quarterback in the draft this year.
But they have other. I mean, there's been a lot of talk that maybe Carson Palmer could land there with.
Yeah,
Pete.
I mean, of course. But I was just mentioning that as.
And I also the Patriots like Brian Hoyer. They clearly have been pretty comfortable with him. I'm not sure they're ready right now to say, okay, we'll trade Hoyer for a fifth, which obviously is an upgrade over where they got him for nothing. But. Now you say, okay, Ryan Mallett, we're comfortable.
You make sure that this other guy can naturally play.
That could be a possibility.
Yeah, and I think that makes
sense.
Thanks,
Larry.
However, I still think, I think Larry's right, but I find it hard that anybody would give up anything of substance.
But I was just
unless
stunned.
He gets a chance to play.
I was just stunned to hear it was either SportsCenter or NFL Network. Somebody say, and Brian Hoyer could be an op, and I'm like, what?
Like
does anybody sit on the practice fields and watch him practice? I like him. He's a really nice guy. He has a weaker arm than you, Paul.
I agree. We've seen a lot of
Fred, do you think he can start?
Who?
Hoyer.
Okay, Paul. Proceed with your point. Apparently, Fred tuned out a while ago.
We've seen teams give up too much for unproven quarterbacks in other markets, but they've at least had – Rob Johnson got a big contract from Jacksonville – I mean, from Buffalo for one game. He started and won one game.
Right.
That's more than we've seen from
Hoyer. What does Hoyer have?
Only mopped up.
A first down run against the Texans?
He's only mopped up in a meaningless game against Houston and in a meaningless game against Miami.
Well, they did kill Houston, though, according to Fred.
I know.
Alex writes.
But even then, they were playing. You know, like the Miami game, there was no one on the field. That was a glorified preseason game last year.
No, he hasn't had any.
Maybe somebody would give them a second round pick or something for
if
them.
If he
but
were
whoever does that will be fired within 2 years. I'll guarantee it.
He doesn't even have. I could see if it were Mallett 2 years in because he has the physicals. He's big.
Yes.
And has a strong arm. Hoyer doesn't have that to fall back on.
He doesn't bring the credentials.
He's not an athlete. He's nothing.
Right. Alex writes in, I know a lot of people are upset that we didn't address the front seven in the draft. I, too, to a degree. However, if Bill didn't believe that any of the players drafted in the first or second were equal in value to where they were picked, then I support his decision. Having said that,
I didn't think Clay Matthews should go there either.
Right.
Having
said that, I feel that we should add at least one veteran player to our front seven, and in my opinion, the most realistic option that would actually be able to contribute would be Mathias Kamanuka. Although he is a 4-3 defensive end, he played linebacker at times in his first year or so in New York, is coming off a down year, and he could be had for a mere second rounder. Since we have two next year, what would your thoughts be on acquiring Kamanuka for our original second instead of Oakland's? And in your opinion, would he fit?
I would take a chance on him if you had nothing else, but I think he'd be more of a Band-Aid than a long-term solution.
I would do it.
Sure, why not?
I'm in the I'd sign my mother to rush the passer mode, so sure, I'll take him. He's a long, lean, athletic body. I like it.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Sam in Brighton's on the line. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right, I'm just calling to talk about the draft party, your idea of putting it on the second round.
Yeah, what do you say?
Is it a good idea?
No, it's a horrible idea.
It's
really?
Eric's. It's Eric's.
Why is that?
Well, I go every year, and I just think if they did it on the second round, a lot less people would go. It's not really worth $65 to see the second round.
What if it's also to meet whoever they picked in the first round?
But you won't even get to see them. Stuff like that's overrated, like Game with the Greats. Like, they just sit at a table, and there's a line as long as the whole room to get autographs, and so you just get their autograph and go.
Right.
So, I don't know.
What would make it good if you did a second, like, day thing? What would make it worth it for you?
Maybe if you put down the price or something.
That's
valid.
That's legitimate.
Sure.
Yep, that's
how about if the cheerleaders show up in what they wore in the calendar?
Then you could go for free. My God. Okay, that's good.
Also,
that's good feedback,
good feedback.
All right, Sam.
Too much money
Thanks,
for
Sam.
The second round. So maybe that does make it unrealistic to do. Plus,
how about we just convince Bill to trade up and take an exciting player and make the draft party fun? Woo!
Plus you
I was trying to think of something, you know.
But you always run
you know,
the
instead of trading willy-nilly down with the Seahawks, I mean, the Eagles, if we're just going to make a mockery of the draft, trade up every year.
I mean, you're advertising opportunity to meet the first-round pick, and then you run the risk of Bill not taking the first-round pick.
That's true.
You know,
I guess you're kind of leaving yourself open there. Gene in Daytona Beach by way of Somerset, Mass.
Hey.
Hey, Fred, Paul, Eric, Andy, and Kevin. I have to agree with you guys, even though I couldn't listen to you anymore on Friday and turn you guys off. It was getting too depressing every time we pass on an outside linebacker. You guys know the team better than any of us out in the internet land.
Yep.
What the team looks like, and count on you guys for honest opinions, even if they are not what we want to hear sometimes. I do believe in Belichick, even though I do not understand him. The reason the Patriots are always contenders is because of Belichick and his willingness to look to the future. Do you think the Boston College linebacker, Herzlick will get invited in as a free agent? I believe Herzlick will become a great pro, and I just wish we would have picked him. I think Paul is onto something about using your existing team to win and not really counting on the rookies to produce this year because of the lockout and the Jets suck. I
posed that as a common thing that I've been hearing the last day or so. I don't agree with it. Just as a point of clarification there.
I do think the Patriots are going to sign Herzlick in undrafted free agency.
I'll take it. I'll take him.
Why not?
I would take him. I told you I would have been willing to give him a draft pick late in the draft. But clearly the fact that he was passed up by everybody and then went in the 10th round of the UFL draft tells you that physically he's got a long
the UFL draft, anyone that drafts him high probably isn't going to use him. So they didn't want to take a pick because he's not going to play in there. He's probably going to play in the NFL. So you're risking.
I don't know about that.
I think he's gonna show up in a camp somewhere.
He probably will show up at a camp.
Yeah,
you know.
And then when he gets cut, he'd be available to play in the UFL.
I guess.
Right? Isn't that the rules?
Well, they can't sign free agents there in the UFL.
You already get drafted in the UFL.
I know he did. Yeah.
Thanks for chiming in.
All right.
If you're not gonna listen, don't participate.
Let's see. Toussaint writes in.
What?
Toussaint.
Toussaint.
Is he bringing his Toussaint?
I'll give you my two cents. You did great.
That's
this
about
week.
All it's worth.
You did great this weekend covering the draft. The one thing I learned this weekend about Coach Belichick is that he should be president. He would clean up the budget real quick. He never overspends and believes in value probably more than he believes in his own religion. I love your coach, but doesn't he realize?
Whoa, your coach?
I love our coach. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I love our coach. But doesn't he realize most of our best players over the years were first-rounders? Seymour, Wilfork, McCourty, Mayo, and Mankins.
Good point.
That's true.
Yeah.
Brady's pretty
funny
good.
How that works.
Brady is six. Yeah. I mean, it's
always,
you can make arguments for everything.
There's always an outlier, but Gibbons. That's a pretty...
Welker.
Welker was a trade. I mean, that's different.
He wasn't a first-round pick, I'm just saying.
No, but he was a trade.
Right.
You didn't draft him at all.
Right. Traded a third for him, right?
Nobody drafted him, actually.
URFA.
San Diego.
Sounds like we've hit a lull in the
show.
Well,
you're in control.
Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398.
Emails and phone calls are funny.
Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. James in Pittsburgh is on the line. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good.
What's up?
Hey, how much clout do you give or how much weight do you give to the non-tangibles, the stuff that we don't see in the draft? Like, for instance, I was just thinking, you know, everybody complains like, okay, someone has these particular skills. And maybe, you know, on the non-tangible side, they may have had some problems with the law or drugs or something. But what about coachability? So let's just say you get somebody who's one of these top-ranked draft picks. We take them on, and they're phenomenal. But we can't coach them, and they freelance. It's so easy for the rest of the team to see, like, wow, okay, you know, like, for instance, Merriweather, someone who was freelancing. If you got somebody who's impactful and freelancing, eventually the other team members go, you know, I think I can take a little bit of leeway on my position play, too. And before you knew it, you sort of lose the team. People start doing whatever they want to do, and you're not in the playoffs at all. Because one of the things that I was watching over the week was Gruden's quarterback show.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things he asks a lot of the quarterbacks is, he'll say, okay, here's a play and here's where it broke down and why'd you do this? And they'll say, oh, well, this is what happened. And then he'll say, what was the play? And a lot of times these great quarterbacks are saying, I just made it up. And when you're trying to coach somebody who's already fairly good, one, are they coachable any further than what you recruited them at? And then the other is how much influence are you going to have over that person when they actually establish themselves in the NFL as one of the top players? I mean, do you lose the team or is that person still coachable? So guys like Seymour and stuff, I think, I don't know, I'm not on the team, but I assume that they still took their coaching very well, but we saw with Merriweather and even Randy Moss, people who were sort of freelancing out there eventually, that we lost control of them and Belichick gets rid of them.
Yeah, there are some guys, and I think there are fewer guys like that, and thanks for the call, James. I think there's fewer guys like that in the NFL than there are freelancers, coachable guys. You see that a lot in the NBA, but guys like Bethel Johnson, for example, he came in and came right out and said, the more someone tells me to do something, the less I want to do it. I think the,
remember when he said that?
That's pretty high in the dumbest things ever said here.
Most of the guys in the NFL take to coaching. In fact, you run the risk of when you don't tell them what to do every minute of the day, that's when you run into problems with NFL players. They're like dogs. They want to be led. And they do. No, it's true. And they want the coaching. Yeah. They want the leadership.
I think that's very high on their list, though. Coachability.
Yeah.
You know, I think important to
them. But we know they miss. I mean, Bethel Johnson is an example. Yeah. They just flat out missed.
He wasn't coachable.
Right. And so
Chad Jackson.
No matter how much research you do and talk to the trainer and the strength coach.
Lawrence Maroney.
You still don't know.
Yeah.
It's an inexact science. I don't know if you've heard.
Let's see. Paul writes in, since I don't know when we are going to enjoy football again, last week was a much-needed return to the sport and team that I love. So I just wanted to say thank you for all the great coverage. Great job making the shows energetic, exciting, fun, loose, and informative. Kind of felt like regular season there. Though I have to say, Andy's inability to handle himself around girls is starting to get creepy. Between his love of Eric's gay bashing and his obsession with boobs, he's turning into a homophobic high school senior who beats up wimps because he can't deal with his repressed homosexual fantasies.
I've never touched Eric.
Not the first time that theory has been thrown out there.
I think he's already turned the corner on that.
Andy is like the friend you take out to a strip bar for the first time, and he gets hammered, jumps up on stage, getting you thrown out, and then barfs in your car. However, I'll deal with all that because his football knowledge is fantastic. I think his commentary and information is on track with some of the leading commentators in football, in my honest opinion.
Wow, who's this?
Just maybe try to keep it together a little bit, okay, tough guy?
Who's this?
I'd be curious to know who he thinks the leading commentators in football are.
Paul says,
Paul.
Eric took a beating by Andy a few times, but Eric kept his smile intact. Not to say that Negativino didn't rear his unhappy head. I would really love it if Kevin could put together all the uhs and ahs and sad sounds Negativino made over the draft shows. Too funny.
Screw you, bitch.
But his chemistry as Andy's foil is classic.
I'm Andy's foil now?
Yeah, he goes down the line. Paul, your dedication.
Finally a role.
Your dedication is standing toe-to-toe with Andy, even when you have to argue with him to let him know you agree with him. Your knowledge base of this team adds a special link that only true homers who would be willing to face smash a Packer fan into pulp understands.
Please stop breathing.
Fred, you're my rock, my sage, my hero, all wrapped into one double-breasted suit. Stay gold, pony. And please keep the shows coming.
Is that from The Outsiders?
The Outsiders. Pony Boy.
Especially the specials. They're my favorite. Seriously, I think you're doing a great job all around, and I don't care if you can't do a push-up. Your strength lies in your ability to remember phone numbers.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him.
Okay.
I love how he goes, okay, he just swore.
Here's his question. Let's pretend for a second that we all have moved on from the lack of a pass rush in the draft. Let's pretend. It's okay the way it is.
I've moved on.
Let's pretend it's okay the way it is. I said pretend, Andy. Make believe, like your sex life. Now, take the 2010.
Your wife doesn't think I'm pretending.
Now take the 2010 team and discuss how you see the defense coming into focus. All things being equal, of course, since we don't know who will pan out or who we might get in free agency, just take a broad look at it and tell me what you see. I think he means 2011 team, maybe.
At the pass rush?
No, overall.
Oh.
The defense. How's it come into focus?
Your pass rush won't be good enough. It'll be your fatal flaw. You lose.
Again.
Really? You think that's going to be it?
Yeah.
I think it hurt. I think you have.
We're supposed to put aside that.
Talent.
No, but
the facts
to look at
of the
facts.
Situation are, right now I have Cunningham, TBC, Ninkovich, and Carter. Those are my guys to go to war with, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Markel.
Markel Carter.
Like,
yeah.
Who's Carter?
See, that's how relevant he is to the equation. Paul hasn't learned his name yet. I just think, and no matter how good you are, Fred, your little theory about you can cover, no, you can't. You can only cover for so long. They have Darrell freaking Revis.
And they did it once.
No, but
they did it in one game.
No, they did it every game.
And by the way, they got good
pass
rush up the middle. They bitch slapped Dan Conley. Well, that was a part of that game.
They take more chances than the Patriots.
No, that was not. There was no chances being taken. It was a defensive tackle beating a guard. Very simple, one-on-one. The game of football.
They
mano
didn't
a mano.
Blitz a lot in that game, but they force you.
Why are you rolling your eyes?
Because you completely ignore the Jets' reputation as part of your game plan. They didn't do that much different that day than just rush three guys and get there occasionally. But first of all, they cause you as an offense to keep track of that stuff. You have to account for the different things that they did. They went about that defensively totally different than they did 6 weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different.
They did.
So what do you think the Patriots were prepared for?
And they wouldn't have been able to do it if they didn't cover the way they cover.
Understood. They did have a good game covering that day. Absolutely. They covered much better that day than they did when the Patriots put 45 with those same guys covering. So at some point, you have to make plays. Because if you just sit, if Andy's right. If those guys weren't beating Dan Conley and Dan Copen up the middle and sacking Tom Brady five times, Brady would have found a way to do what he did the 6 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Because you can't cover forever.
So you're comfortable with the pass rush.
No, I wish it was better, but I can say that what they did on draft day can help the pass rush. Wherever it was last year, if Dowling pans out, it'll be that much better. It'll be a little bit better.
Pass rush.
The pass rush.
There may be a game.
Will be a little bit
because
better.
There'll be more coverage sacks?
Because they'll trust their coverage. The they'll be willing to take a little bit more risks.
Willing to
time.
Take a risk and able to do the job are two different things.
They'll they'll
send
be
my guy James Sanders and he'll stop at the fullback again.
There'll be games that's true. It's not going to be you can't cover up for a lack of ability to get after the passer with all that with coverage.
You know, but I think the emailer is looking at us, you know, to just sit back and you know, with a little less emotion, kind of look at it objectively. Okay, last year we went into the season and say, if all these things happen, they'll be all right. If they don't,
and most
it
of them
be
went,
terrible.
Went
and,
positive.
Right. So let's do the same thing. If Cunningham takes the next step, you know, if Ty Warren comes back and protects him a little bit, frees him up maybe, you know, if Dowling works out, if McCourty gets that much better, if Bodden comes back, I think the defense actually is better this year than it was last year.
Some of those
just
are
like
logical,
last year.
But do you think they're all going to be come out on the positive? Most likely they're all going to, it's going to be 50-50.
Well,
some will be better, some
I
will
think
be worse.
I think that a lot of individual players could play as well or better than they did last year, especially if you add in Ty Warren and Lee Bodden, as Fred mentioned, guys coming back that weren't part
those
of the equation.
Those, I think, matter.
That could improve you. But I think that you could have the same kind of performance and not force as many turnovers as they did last year. I think that was a special
that helped a lot.
A special
you're
season
right.
True.
That happens when you're just deflecting balls and picking them off and coming up with the key play in the fourth quarter. And I think that the chances of that happening in a similar fashion, I think the New Orleans Saints played better defensively by far in 2010 than they did in 2009.
And they had all the turnovers.
Why didn't
they
go as far? Because they didn't cause all those turnovers.
Right.
Because that's kind of one of those unquantifiable.
Yeah. No, I get you.
You don't know how many turnovers.
I get you.
You could play great defense and not force turnovers.
I mean, you know.
I mean, do you think Rob Ninkovich is going to make as many plays next year?
I don't know. Maybe he's better. Maybe he, you know.
And do you really think Devin McCourty is going to be better? Because I don't production-wise.
Well, you don't really.
He may be a better player, but I don't think production-wise he's
going to
be better.
He could play better, but
he could have
not
two
make
picks.
As many game-turning plays
he could
as
have
he did
two
last
picks
year.
Next year.
Yeah.
That's just the way that works.
And he could be just as good a player.
Right.
I know what you're saying.
And that's a big, if he had seven or eight?
He had seven.
If you take away five interceptions and he just has two, has a great year,
and how
but
many
only
of them,
has five.
I know, but what you're saying, what you're insinuating there is that, okay, teams are staying away from him.
I'm just insinuating it's hard to have seven pick seasons in the National Football League.
But when you
maybe when they throw the ball up that he picked off this year, that the offensive player does something to cause the ball to fall incomplete.
Maybe.
And then on the next play, they go after somebody else and it's a touchdown.
And it's a touchdown.
But, he's just as good. It's fine.
But you know, right now,
you lose.
You know, you're on a fence right now and you're looking at.
I'm never on a fence.
I'm not saying you. I mean, in general, we're on a fence right now, all of us. And one side is if things don't pan out, and on the other side, if things do pan out. And, you know, there's a lot of evidence, you know, that things could pan out. I think a little bit more so than they won't.
I disagree. I think everything went really, really well last year for a lot of really young players.
Yeah.
My belief is, and this may be my pessimism, negativity.
Now, is that negative? I want to know. I'm asking dead seriously.
I think he is
Andy's
absolutely right because, you know, go back and play our tapes. Beginning of the season, all four of us said, in order for the Patriots to do well this year, a lot of things have to go right. And we listed them.
Right.
This guy has to do this.
But none of the things
that I took
into consideration were causing 30 whatever many turnovers caused and going 10 games without turning
but
the ball
no
over.
But there's no one that felt, you know, other than injuries, which you can never predict, no one fell flat on their face that we were thinking had to have a good season. No one, you know, except for Tully Bannacane. And he didn't really fall didn't flat fall on his face,
but he didn't produce like
he didn't
back
just like he was being paid and like we hoped.
Right.
But you know,
right? There were no Chad Browns, Monty Beisels, where you just say the guy needs to get off the field.
Right.
He can't compete.
Right. And in fact, they had great contribution from depth that we didn't expect. You know, no
especially
one
on the defensive
figured
line.
Kyle Arrington would be starting as a corner in this league. You know,
and that's where I believe there's a good chance a good chunk of those guys kind of come back to reality a little
bit. But that's why you get a Dowling, because Arrington probably isn't going to be that guy again. And that's what they're thinking.
Arrington wasn't going to be that guy this year regardless.
Right.
Bodden's coming back to take his place.
But I'm just saying, you know, in terms of depth, you know, and you need depth. As we saw last year, you need depth in this league.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many different starters did they have? 40 different starters over the course of the year, something like that?
I don't know. But that's
it wasn't the record that they had, but it was up there.
To it anyway.
You know, I don't know. Marcus from D.C. says, tell Big Head it was Trent Dilfer on ESPN that said Brian Hoyer is coveted around the league. It's been a while since I had an email read, so just for you, Freddie, it's Marcus in D.C.
That's big.
Apparently it was Trent Dilfer.
Not Marquise.
I can't confirm that because I don't
you
have
said that?
Good memory.
Oh, okay, you didn't hear it.
Artie in Keene, New Hampshire, I am not on board with my fellow New Hampshireite. I think
Steve
called in earlier.
And
yes,
Sue.
We won a lot, and I was a fan, and I am grateful. We as Pats fans are very lucky and appreciative of all that we've gotten in the success and winning we've had. The problem is I am not happy with complacency. When you have Tom Brady and Bill Belichick with all the talents, it's just sad to see them being complacent with the draft and surrounding Tom with Jags. To me, it's a waste of their talent, and that window is closing for both. Bill won't be here forever, and Tom is elite talent now. I want them to use the draft picks to get more elite talent, not just some good players now and some more picks for the future.
I hear you.
Bra. Eric's not. This is as unhappy as I've seen Eric since he declared the window closed.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
Thought a yes. Yeah.
What'd you say, paper champion?
They're just all saying yeah to each other.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's
we'll
get
see.
Sam and Houston on.
Hey, Sam Houston!
Thanks for holding on.
The governor.
Sam?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Say, it's been a while.
Yeah. Where you been?
Say, I've been good. Hey, I'm trying to figure out why. I know we got the offensive tackle for the whole Matt Light situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to figure out, why did we trade out the second pick? Why didn't we go with a defensive lineman?
Uh-huh.
Because to me, with all the injuries that happened, not with just Warren, but what's the number 99 name? I can't
remember. Mike Wright. Number one.
Yeah, Wright. Yeah. With his neck injury, right?
Head. Yeah, concussion. Severe concussion.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, why don't you protect yourself? The way you get pressure, or hopefully get pressure, I remember by somebody actually pushing the line.
I think
didn't we go with a D tackle or
an end?
Someone that stood in our scheme?
The guy there was Wilkerson, who ended up going to the Jets, who, you know, was a late riser, and watching the tape, some of us thought could be Richard Seymour-esque, that type of talent.
It was very
with
disappointing.
A big body, athletic, sub 5'40" at 6'4", 6'5", and 300+. I think that's the question. I don't think it's a question of do you take Ingram. I think the question is the D lineman Wilkerson, and could he be a special player in their 3-4?
And sad as I was to see them.
Notice who took him, right?
What's that?
Like, thank you, Pats.
Oh, yeah, the Jets.
Oh, the
Jets, I love it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. As sad as I was to see them trade that pick, it was salt in the wound when the Jets took him, because now you're going to have to face him twice a year, and if he's as good as we thought he was.
Now Nate Solder could be getting bitch slapped by him twice a year.
I'm like, why? Even if they would have took a corner, they could have took the Prince.
Yeah.
They could have took him. They could have took him. And I'm telling you, he looks a lot better than Darius Butler.
Well, Darius.
I'm just saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of
thanks, Sam,
to be bandied about with this draft. That's what happens when they don't take the guys we want. Last year they took the guys we wanted, and it worked out. Correct?
Right. That's right.
Fact or opinion?
Best draft they've had in 5 years. Fact, not opinion.
Both. They took somebody from Andy Hart's big board on their first pick, Devin McCourty, right?
Correct.
They took the guy Andy Hart wanted, Rob Gronkowski.
Yep. Correct.
He's now calling himself in the third person.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I usually go with Mr. Draft, but not everybody is familiar with that name yet. We have a lot of listeners, you know. I need to get them caught up.
Are you
going
to try to copyright it?
I could.
Yeah.
Mr. Draft.
At least trademark it.
Yeah.
Just oh, there's Paul's tire. No, not that one. The one on TV. There's a guy actually flipping a tire.
Ben from Vermont, Fred, via
England. If I challenge you to try to flip that tire over, will you do it?
Sure.
You go first.
Why? Why? I can't you?
Because will we get in trouble?
I challenge you to put your head through the middle of it.
Would we get in trouble?
Probably.
Okay, so we shouldn't touch it.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see Paul do it forever, and I joked that it's going to fall on him, and I'm going to have to call somebody.
either that, they'll catch wind of it, and Bill will go watch these assholes try to put that. Oh, I see.
You can't say that. It had been a while, I guess.
We were the worst part
we didn't have one on the draft shows.
When he first said it, I didn't even think anything of it.
I didn't
he does
either.
It so often.
Seriously.
A-hole. A-hole. A-hole.
No, that's not what he said. He said
that's
the whole thing.
That's not what he said.
Ben in Vermont via England. Despite their terrible stats last year, I still like a lot of the defensive roster. We seem to have talented defensive backs, inside linebackers, and I'd even argue that we have potential on the defensive line.
I'm with you on all that. You left something out.
We all know that the outside linebackers are the weak link. If we picked up a single high-priced top-end outside linebacker in free agency or a trade, how much of a jump could the defense make?
Two victories.
16-0.
No, I had him at 11-5, 13-3 with Quinn.
I knew what you meant.
So if they get somebody like Quinn, I'll give them those two victories.
But I think that, and we mentioned this again.
But I think like is a good word there.
Yeah.
I like a lot of their personnel. I don't love much of it.
But we
love McCourty.
You know,
I love Sanders.
We should be happy that we're that close. That
how close?
Getting one guy. You know, Andy, you said during the show, if you get that one guy, you're going to win a Super Bowl. Well, the fact that you're that close.
When did I say that?
That's pretty.
During the draft show.
That's pretty hopeful for Patriots fans.
Who was the guy I was talking about? Quinn?
No, anybody. Because we were talking about free agency. Because I think at the time we said, well, now it was like the fifth or sixth round, and we were like, oh, they're not going to get the guy we wanted. And then Fred asked, if they get that guy in free agency, will you be happy? And I think you said yes.
Oh.
You said they'll win a championship. And
who was I talking about, though?
Anybody.
It was a top-notch draft rusher. Pass rusher.
In free agency.
And the fact that we're that close,
I think
that's hopeful. That we should be happy about that.
Well, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that they're close. I mean, they did.
Yeah.
I mean, even though I might say that, are they a 14? They went 14-2. They were the number one seed.
And you are
AFC.
The originator of the win-based formula for evaluating
that's
teams.
That's true. You can't say, well, they're not as good as a 14-2 team and then say they're not close.
Right.
I mean, they're definitely close to a title, but the fact is, in January, it's been a while since they've gotten close.
Right.
And it's, you know, when you're dealing with January football, you're dealing with teams that are similarly close. And,
right.
you know,
need playmakers.
You need a playmaker. And I don't know if they have them on offense, but I don't know if they have them on defense.
All right. Well,
they have McCourty.
You know, we didn't really get to talk about it. And this show, and maybe we'll talk about
one
it Thursday,
because
we focus so much on the defense today. But, you know, maybe on Thursday we focus a little bit on the offense because, you know, we talked a little bit about obviously offensive line and running back. But one thing we haven't talked at all about, except for Taylor Price just a bit, was wide receiver. A lot of people think that they haven't addressed that need yet. They don't have
the guy that can take the top off
the defense.
And
what are they going to do there?
Absolutely nothing and maintain the best offense in football.
Well,
and that's the major difference between that and outside linebacker. You're not competitive at outside linebacker. At wide receiver, we say they need X, Y, and Z, but without X, Y, and Z, they were the best offense in football last year post Randy Moss.
Right.
They may not be quite as good.
And they made up for it in other ways. They added the two tight ends that were extremely productive.
So if they fall off the map this year, maybe they're the ninth best offense in football. Well, you're already starting at 31, 32 in third down defense in those categories with what you have now. If Cunningham, God forbid, isn't as competitive as he was last year,
right?
Well, then you're 42nd.
Well,
in the league.
I'll play a little devil's advocate. If you do fall to being the ninth or 10th best offense,
you lose.
How much better does your defense need to be?
You lose. You're right.
And can they afford to have a drop off in offense?
A lot better.
So we'll talk about
where do you have more faith? Tom Brady and Deion Branch and Wes Welker or Rob Ninkovich?
We're right up against it here?
It's 2 o'clock.
We're never up against it. We go as long as we want.
That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. I think it was a good show. Good, a lively, talk.
The last hour, 45, was pretty good.
Discussion.
Fred died in the first hour, and then he dropped a naughty word in the second hour. It doesn't get any better than that.
And he was mimicking Bill calling us that word.
We'll see you Thursday.
Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.